Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Wendy, many of you will remember, longtime host of the show. We took a leave of absence for medical reasons.
I did, and thank you so much for holding the fort down. Is there some certain password I need to get back into the fort?
No, there's no password. And we took down the No Girls Allowed sign that was on the door that I borrowed from Spanky and Alfalfa. No, you're welcome.
Was the R backwards?
Yeah, the R was backwards because it's cuter that
it
way.
Is cuter.
It's more adorable that way. Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Listen, I am fine, and I meant to come back yesterday. I wanted to be here for Jimmy DeCastro's last day.
Mm.
I had a costume ready to roll, which I was unable to wear.
You have no idea how many people texted throughout the day saying that you owe it to them and to all of us to wear that costume today, because for the last couple of weeks they've been speculating as to what your costume was. You were very proud of it.
It was really stupid, and I'm not wearing it today because it's not Halloween, although I could have worn it. It's one of those costumes where nobody realizes you're dressed up, kind of like Steve Bertrand playing the part of Bill Leff, which I saw on Facebook. You look just like
him.
Isn't
that something?
It was brilliant.
It was.
He looked like me stretched out,
yes.
Like a Tangy Taffy version of me.
I would like a Tangy Taffy version
cool.
of you.
I'm in for that.
I was going to be, since I...
Wait, can you say, before you say what it is, could you say what you'd be wearing and
yes.
see if Steve and I and Kevin can guess what it
you'd
is?
You'd get it in a second.
Yeah?
Since I had knee surgery, which went really well, it's just I can't take pain pills, so I'm not on pain pills. So if I yell out
yes.
ow! Later, that might be
That's
why.
That's why.
I was going to wear, this will give it away right now.
I think I can guess it without even
go
saying.
Go ahead.
Were you a cavalryman at Wounded Knee?
No, but that would have been so much better.
No, that's what I thought you were going to
be. Damn.
That's where I thought you were heading.
I need you to be my PR person. No,
oh,
I'm,
I get Wounded Knee.
Yeah. No, all right. Thanks,
I
Steve.
Was just going to wear my Duncan Keith Blackhawk sweater.
Yes.
With Blackhawks. I have sweatpants. They're flannels.
Right.
You know, jammies.
Yeah.
Garth Elgar. That's who you're going to be.
Good, Kev.
No?
And I...
From
I
Wayne's
had,
World, for people who
oh,
aren't
yeah.
sure. That's Wayne's friend.
Party on, Garth.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was going to, I had a hockey stick that I have
yeah.
beat up, and I was going to put the blackjack gum on my teeth and be Duncan Teeth.
Duncan Teeth. I like that.
That's all I was going to do, and I thought it's going to be
worked.
Pretty easy.
That would
And then
been
Jim
great.
Couldn't find the blackjack gum. He looked all over. Where do they sell this? I don't know. Go to Party City.
Right. They have everything at Party City.
Don't they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Well, I didn't need it anymore. But that was, I thought, kind of along the Steve Bertrand route where you're dressed up, but it didn't really take that much
right.
effort.
I think Steve's took a lot of effort.
I was thinking about it for a long time.
Yep.
How long? A couple hours?
A couple hours, and... You know, then really the hurtful thing was when people didn't think I was wearing a costume at all.
That's the worst thing when you yeah. when you take the time to dress up and everybody does this. Who are you supposed to be?
Can I tell you, someone in the newsroom, I don't remember exactly who it was, might have been Andrea. She looked at me yesterday. She goes, "Who are you? You look familiar." And I'm like, "Yes."
She said she guessed it right away, so I don't know if it was Andrea.
Oh, it wasn't Andrea. Okay.
But have you ever seen a kid just crushed at the door,
yes.
holding out his bag, and then a mom will go, "Oh, that's adorable. Who are you supposed to be?" And you just see the kid's eyes go, "Supposed to be?"
I know,
Come
that
on.
Stinks. Can I talk about trick-or-treating a little bit?
Absolutely.
Various towns have various hours to keep with the trick-or-treating.
Yes.
LaGrange, I believe, was 3 to 7, which school doesn't get out till 3:15, so I thought that was kind of weird.
It does shorten the day.
Right. So
yeah.
we, you know, Dylan and Jimmy Mack were on the porch ready to roll.
Yeah.
I was like, please get the door before the doorbell rings because I want to sleep. I want to, you know, get better. So they were out and armed and ready with candy.
You weren't giving out painkillers as treats
no.
again, were you?
No. That went over really well last year.
I remember
though.
Even Elvis's doctor told you that that wasn't a good move.
Well, Rush Limbaugh kept coming over and he cleared me out. It's not funny. Those things are horrible. I don't know why people take those. I really
don't. I
don't
get it either.
So they were poised and ready to roll, and Dylan had done a lot of decorating, so we had a spooky ghost and a funky light
yeah.
that was, and so kids were coming up 3 to 7, that's it. Of course, Jimmy Mack does not get enough candy. He handled it this year. I said, that's not going to be enough. Oh, it'll be plenty. Well, at 6:30, when there's a half an hour left, they're out of candy.
Oh.
So all of a sudden, we have a ton of Little Debbie's, because Little Debbie sponsors his podcast,
oh.
so we're giving away Cosmic Cupcakes. What,
that's
you know,
not a bad treat.
It's actually
that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's 7 o'clock, o'clock, and whew, we made it.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to stop at 7.
But that's, they have
breaks
to.
Breaks the rules. But that's not enough. When you look forward to something all year long and you only get 4 hours, that's not enough.
But seven's I'm not
early.
Making the rules.
I guess.
So what do? I said turn the lights off, put up a sign. Trick-or-treating is from 4 to 7, and Dylan said that is the first way to get your house egged.
He's right.
He said, at least just put we're out of candy. I said, that's going to get your house egg, too.
That won't work.
And I said, run to Walgreens. It's probably already on sale. Go get some more.
Has your house ever been egged?
No.
We've never been of yours, Steve?
No. No, but I was just talking to Sharon last night. When we first moved into the suburbs, I'm like, oh, you know, I got to be vigilant. They're going to toilet paper in my house. They're going to wax. Nothing's ever happened.
It hasn't happened.
No one's ever busted up a pumpkin.
I have seen houses have that happen.
They stole my candy bowl once.
Well, yeah.
And it was a really nice bowl, and I found it down the street in the gutter. Like, just, I don't care. Take the candy. Don't take my bowl.
We all end up down the street in the gutter one time or another.
But so, no sign, you know, Dylan put a sign up, and Jim's like, that's not how it works. So I said, well, then you deal with the door. So just a smattering of ding-dongs.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the kids. A smattering of ding-dongs after 7 o'clock, and I heard Jim with the cosmic cupcakes. Oh, happy Halloween. Here you go.
That's a great treat. He saved the day there.
Yeah, but it ended at 7. I wanted to catch up on The Walking Dead.
On Halloween. Nice touch.
Thank you.
Very nice touch. In Oak Forest, it was supposed to end at 9 p.m., which also just didn't seem to be enough. And then kids would come, even though it ended at 9, that meant kids would come till at least 10, sometimes 10:15, and we just accepted it. That was just, you know, it's the one day a year. You're allowed to do that.
Then don't put the limits on it.
Right. Right.
Just say maybe
7's
before.
7's not enough.
I know.
Especially like yesterday, the weather was the nicest Halloween I can ever remember.
And it was getting warmer as the night went on.
It did. It absolutely did.
So it was warmer at 8 than it was at 3 o'clock.
Right. Right. My favorite kid when I was growing up was Steven Jackson, who lived a block away from us. And Steven would always come the day before Halloween. He would trick or treat the day before Halloween because he would explain every year that his family was going out of town and he would not be around for Halloween. And then he'd come the next day dressed as somebody else.
He is a genius.
I think he's a millionaire now.
Why isn't he running for president?
Wouldn't that be perfect?
He's Steven Jackson. I'll vote for him.
Steven Jackson for president. He's double dipping. Good. He's not afraid to admit it.
And people fell for it with the coming early?
I used to say to my mom, you know, he did that last year and the year before and the year before. He's just so adorable, that Steven Jackson. And he lived on a mountain of candy. We look in our back windows. Who's that on that big mountain of candy? It's Steven Jackson, living like a king.
You know, this was the first year Dylan's in eighth grade. He decided to stay home with Jim because he had scared up the porch a bit, and he wanted to dish out the candy.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of laying there. He had a little blanket on and his Nintendo 3DS, and he goes, this is the life.
Yeah.
I don't get sore feet. I can eat candy whenever I want, and I'm making kids smile.
He's going to go to a lot. He knows what he's doing. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a big show for you. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Well, thank you for holding down the fort. That's all
you're
I want to say.
You're very welcome. Now, your house yesterday became the house. Like when I was a kid, we would trick or treat locally on the blocks near us, and then if things were good, my mom would go hop in the car. We're going to where the rich people live, and we'd head out to Payless
to get the full size candy bars.
The nice big size candy bars. Your house was one of the nice houses yesterday, right? You had people from other areas go, that's where the rich people live. That's where we're going to go trick-or-treating.
Well, it's just the decorations. Dylan did a really good job decorating and scaring everybody.
Yeah.
But we don't get full size.
No? That's a lot.
That is a lot to ask.
Even quote-unquote fun size. If you buy a bag of fun size, and my opinion of what fun size is
and
the candy companies
fun.
Is different. The bigger, the more fun is for me. But even if you buy a bag of that, like Target ran ads all week long with a mom with an empty pumpkin bowl, and then all of a sudden there was a bag of candy in there, and Target would advertise for $9.66. You could fill this pumpkin, but you go, boy, $10, and that's all the candy you get for $10? It's really expensive.
I know, and I feel bad because I was whining that Jim didn't get any M&Ms, and he said, M&Ms are expensive. I said, oh my God, are you kidding? He bought the variety pack that had Reese's and Nestle's, so it wasn't crap candy.
Right.
That was really cheap.
That's what we give out.
What, the crap candy?
Like the Starburst and the little gummy bears and things that I do not want to eat.
Well, here, typically, I didn't buy the candy this year, and I buy the ones I like, because if there's some left over, then I get some candy. There weren't any left over, and he didn't get the good ones, and he said the M&Ms, it's like $10, and Dylan goes on to whine about there's only like four little M&Ms
right,
in
the package
fun size.
Is smaller now.
It's not fun size.
But no.
It's not fun at all size.
Mildly amused size. That's what that should be called. Now, isn't it funny that the school of thought is your... There's two schools of thought on getting the candy. You either get the candy you love because when there's some left over, you can enjoy it. Or my wife's thing is, get the candy I like the least. She got Warheads. You know what those are?
Yeah.
They're like really sour. Like when you bite it, it's really sour. She hates those. So she got those.
Most kids do too.
No, you know what?
I know.
Kids were like going, Warheads. They were really excited. Every once in a while, you'd see a kid who goes, I can't. That's
right.
That's too much for me.
I'm on the Warhead overdose right now because sometimes you need some chocolate to counterbalance that sour.
Right. Right. You want a nice mix. And more people now, like, I remember when I was a kid, whenever you'd go to somebody's house, they had one thing, maybe two, that was it. But now it's almost all assortments, take what you like.
And the damn popcorn ball, there was a neighbor in Brookfield who gave them out every year, and we couldn't wait to get there. And the more I thought about it, I didn't even like popcorn balls.
Well, you got the combination of popcorn, salt, and glue in one treat, and that's hard to top, isn't it? popcorn balls are okay. You like for a little while you go, oh, this isn't bad. And then after a while you go, I've had enough of the popcorn ball. I can wait till next year to have another one of these.
Yeah, they're not really that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was exciting to have something different.
Right.
And God bless the little old ladies who give out those orange and black little wrapped candy.
The kisses, the peanut kisses, peanut butter
kisses. I love
kisses.
Those.
I like
you
those
do?
Too.
Yeah.
I really do. I know that's throwback candy, but I enjoy those too.
Absolutely.
Along with a roll of pennies and you're happy?
Do you have pennies?
No.
There were always a couple of families. I don't think people do this anymore because what can you buy for 3 cents? But there were always people that would just toss in 2 or 3 cents into your bag.
A dime.
All I have to do is do this for an hour and I'll have a dollar.
We're little. Remember there were the little tiny Halloween bags where they put the kiss
right.
in and
yeah.
a dime.
Right. Yay, I'm rich. This will affect my tax status.
Helen, you gave away something different, huh?
I give out cans of Coke.
Oh, and how do the parents of the kids, although they're going to have sugar no matter
what.
What
does it matter?
What does it matter, right?
It's no worse than giving them candy.
Not the 12-ounce cans, though, right? The mini cans, those?
Oh, no. I give out the full-size cans.
Wow.
Just wait and find them on sale. Look what you spend to go out to dinner once, you know.
What's your address, Helen, just out of curiosity for next year?
You know, my one little girl that comes every year, she wasn't here this year. Where was Iris? Come on, Mom.
Where is she?
I don't know.
She got too many cavities from you, Helen.
She comes every year, and she's just so, oh, what would you, I don't know. She puts out her little hip, and she goes every year, do you remember me?
Oh.
And last year she was, I mean, last night she wasn't here, and you know what?
What?
I really missed her.
Is
so
she,
where is Iris, Mom?
Can
it's her grandmother. That
Helen, I'm just guessing, but maybe she's in her 20s now? Is that possible?
No,
maybe
she's only about 8 years old.
Oh, she's little.
Yes, and she's been coming every year, and I really missed her last night.
That's. I wonder what happened. We'll find Iris.
I don't know.
All right.
Find Iris.
All right.
Thank you, Helen. Somebody said when I was growing up and we were trick-or-treating, there was always one house that would give away plastic rosaries. That would be bad.
Wow. That's
what a disappointment. I mean, everybody could use a rosary, but not then. Can I eat it?
You could use it to pray for better choices next year.
Is it like one of those little candy necklaces?
Yeah.
See, now that's a good idea. A candy rosary.
That's a great idea.
All right, I got to come up with
I don't think
that.
It is.
I don't
no,
think so
don't
either.
Think it
no,
is.
It's not. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then a big full show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you again, Bill and Steve and Anna Balaval and Dane Neal for holding down the fort. I had knee surgery on Thursday, outpatient, just arthroscopic surgery. Everything went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night, I had to go to my high school son Michael's conferences. So I'm cruising around with my...
The same day as the surgery.
Yeah, because they put this numbing agent in it, and I was like, oh my God, I feel great. I can't believe I had probes in my knee.
Yeah.
I felt really good. Well, that numbing agent kind of wore off, and then Friday and Saturday just...
Then you feel the pain.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No more pain pills for me. I really don't know. They kind of scare you into taking them, like stay ahead of the pain. It's just, they're not good for your system.
Yeah, I bet.
So, I do have to tell you, Thursday, we were there on time.
Uh-huh.
Actually, early.
Oh.
Had to be at Weiss Memorial Hospital at 5:45. We were there at 5:35.
this is not like you.
I was really anxious to get this over with.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it's an outpatient thing, so they give you a hospital gown, and I said, I'd have to take all my clothes off?
Yeah.
And they said, yes, because you're going into surgery.
Right.
I'm like, well, can I leave my underwear on? Mm-hmm. You don't need to.
Where am I going
to
keep the singles? When the guys give me singles, where am I going to keep them?
Well, it's like a half-hour surgery, so I'm like, I don't need a catheter. Can't I just leave my underwear on?
Seems doable. They won't allow that.
Put all your clothes in this bag. We'll give it to your husband who's in the waiting room. Mm. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm getting wheeled in. They put an IV in, which you would have punched someone.
Yeah.
And that kind of calms you a little bit.
Does it, though?
Yeah.
Does it?
Once it's in, yeah, because it's, right? You know, they're putting some narcotic in you to chill you out a little bit. So this very handsome anesthesiologist, who I swear was 20.
Really?
He looked so young. He came in and I said, do I have to be fully out? Can't it just be like local? And he's like, no, because if you move your knee, this is really going to mess things up.
Right. So you wanted to kind of be aware of what was happening?
There are complications from being completely under with anesthesia that kind of scare me. And believe it or not, I had a total knee replacement before, and that was a slow recovery. This was so nothing like that, but I was still kind of scared when I got there.
Yeah.
I really was.
Understandably.
So I'm like, you know, what about, you know, is there any other kind of anesthesia? And they said, we could give you an epidural, but then you're going to have to stay here longer because it takes like 5 hours to wear off. So really, once we stop gassing you, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of wake up and this is the way to go. So I'm like, all right. And then a very young, attractive woman anesthesiologist, an assistant, comes in saying the same thing. Okay, we're about ready to take you. And, you know, I'm kind of weirdly out of it, and I'm looking around and these giant surgical lights and everything, and I'm like, they're wheeling me down the hall, and I said, we sure we got to do the general anesthesia here? And she goes, oh yeah, that's the way to go. And I said, I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes there are complications. And she goes, are you thinking of Kanye West's mom? I'm like, exactly.
But it's not good tact for them to bring that up.
But
it?
That's exactly who I was thinking of, Donda West. And I said, that's exactly who I'm thinking of. And she was just going under a routine procedure. And she goes, the anesthesiologist said, no, that was not because of anesthesia. There were some complications after the fact. And I go, okay, well, while we're at it, what about Joan Rivers?
Yeah.
Look at me, right before I'm going under, this is what I'm bringing up.
Sure.
So the 20-year-old hot anesthesiologist says to me, oh, Joan Rivers, she did not go to a very good clinic because, trust me, I'm from New York. There are some clinics that aren't that good, and she didn't go to a very good one.
Yeah.
And that was not anesthesiology. That was other issues afterwards. And I'm like, all right.
But still in your head, you have filed away two people who went under thinking this is a fairly routine.
Right.
And then, yeah.
But only me would bring that up right before I'm going under.
But I think they handled it properly.
Totally.
Right?
Plus, they were a nice little young, really, they're making doctors younger these days.
Yeah, well, how'd that happen?
I don't know.
I liked when doctors looked like Wilford Brimley, and now they don't.
It did give you some comfort.
Yeah. That's what in my head, if I close my eyes and somebody goes, which one of these people is a doctor? I go with the old grizzled looking guy. That's
experience.
The guy. Yeah. Remember Lloyd Nolan on Julia, the really old doctor on Julia? That's how doctors should look, like that guy.
Yeah, but not anymore.
No.
And then, you know, after the surgery was over, I was kind of coming through or coming out of it, and I realized my knee was burning a little bit. So I'm thinking either I'm coming out of the anesthesia and they're not finished, or it's been completed. And then it was just Thursday night, I wanted to go party.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, but then Friday and Saturday, things changed a little bit. But all in all, they have come such a far way. There are a lot of people who Facebooked me that they need arthroscopic surgery. It has come so far.
Right.
I mean, you used to have to stay in the hospital for it. I was home by 11 a.m.
And now that this part's done, do you do a couple of weeks of rehab on this, or is that not part of this?
I think I have to make an appointment, which they're not returning my calls. I have to go in 2 weeks to get stitches out.
I wouldn't think about that at all.
Yeah, I know. I think I've been calling the wrong number, but I have to go for a 2-week checkup, and they take the stitches out, and then probably a little. I can bend it. I can walk on it. It's you know, a knee replacement is they're totally getting down and dirty in there and replacing the entire joint.
All right, so I'm trying to liken this to Tommy John surgery in baseball, where in the early days of it, it was a long, slow recovery process. What have they figured out with this recently that's made it so much easier than it used to be?
My very first knee surgery I had when I was a sophomore in high school, you tore the cartilage. They just removed all the cartilage. So years later, you don't have cartilage in your joint and things are very bad. This is just kind of nipping and tucking. Yeah. They go in with just like the size of a drinking straw as a camera. And then they have instruments that fit in the other hole. There are two holes, like punctures. And they just look on a screen and they're like, oh, your meniscus is torn, so we're going to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little raggedy cartilage behind your kneecap. We're going to smooth that down.
One of my favorite stuffed animals is a small boy.
Raggedy cartilage.
Yep.
Was that the boy or the girl? Was that the dog?
It was their cousin.
Oh.
He hardly ever came over.
And then the ACL, the anterior cruciate ligament, was a little torn, so they stitched that up. So they can do everything without really violating the joint so much. It's just all in there, and healing is very quick.
Amazing.
And it is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are a lot of people saying, oh, I have to get that done. It's really, just don't take pain pills. We went out for our anniversary dinner.
Do you remember any of it?
I do, because it just like made me want to sleep, which is what you want to do when you're healing from
a
surgery.
Sure. Yeah.
And we decided to take the kids. We wanted to go to Joe Stone Crab. I'm thinking of Kevin Richter telling me, oh, the Cubs are playing, the Blackhawks are playing. You'll get a table, no problem.
Maybe not there.
Not there.
No.
So we went to a little local steakhouse. I had a great dinner, getting ready, watching the Blackhawks. The Cubs are going to come on Sunday night, and all of a sudden my stomach starts churning. And I was just, my ribs still hurt from throwing up so much.
Really?
So I'm glad we didn't go to Joe Stone Crab.
No,
I wasted all that money.
Don't waste it.
No, I really.
Go when you can enjoy it.
But that's just totally from the pain pills.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And everybody's saying, don't take them, just take Advil. And, you know, I just if it doesn't hurt, don't listen to them. Stay ahead of the pain, because you know what? I don't think I haven't taken anything since 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
But you know how everybody's tolerance for pain is different?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who, you know, take half of the pain that you did, and it cashes them out. So,
well, it's really terrible. And Tim Ryan, of course, Man in Recovery Foundation, is like, no pain pills. Don't do it. You
right.
can do this on your own. And I said, they made me so sick. And he said, see what they do to kids. But then why do people take those? That's my question.
I just think for the obvious of it's such excruciating pain. Well, not so much to check out, but it's just for some people, it's just too much. The pain is just too much. So you need to kind of, you know, take a day or two where you're on them. I'm the same way. I don't like taking any kind of medication. I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me.
Seriously. And I was all excited to come back yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if you don't need the pain pills, I guess wait it out, because it's really kind of a scare tactic. Stay ahead of the pain.
Right.
If it doesn't hurt,
then stay away.
Take some Advil.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Bridget Carey is going to join us in just a little bit. It's a Tech Tuesday. We'll find out what's going on in the world of technology and then a whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Funny, Bill. I missed you.
Come on.
All right. I also missed Bridget Carey. She is from CNET.com, a CNET senior editor and host of the CNET Update. And Bridget, how are you on this Tech Tuesday?
Oh, we're doing okay. You know, it's slow, and that's always a sign that something big is going to happen.
You sound scared, Bridget. I've never heard you sound this scared before. Are you under a table right now?
It's been a weird week. I mean, just last week we were so busy with Apple and Microsoft, and I think coming into this week having to be slow, I'm just like not trusting anything.
Bridget, I need to ask you, I know we talk tech stuff, but this is a political question, but it has tech roots in it. If you, let's say you're a political candidate for the presidency, and somehow you had a bunch of misplaced emails. Those emails are never gone for good, right? There's some sort of imprint on a computer of emails that have been deleted, isn't there?
Not when she owns her own server. You can wipe things. It is possible to have things wiped. And I think one of the takeaways that not everyone thinks about is that there is no set law in terms of when you're requested to hand over emails that are relating to business. Who decides what is relating, you know, to the government business.
Right.
And so in definition, you can say, well, this was personal and this was not, and, you know, no one will be the wiser because there's no one to actually argue like, oh, you were wrong, that this wasn't personal. And so it's all just kind of this murky water, really, I guess you could say, about like not being able to define it. So can those old emails be found? I don't know. I think everyone's kind of curious to see if they look into the emails of what's her name, Huma.
Yeah.
If they look into her emails, if there's any copy of something that, hey, look, here's some evidence of something that might have been deleted on Clinton's end, but you know, this is proof that something she deleted she said was personal, but it wasn't. You know, like, I guess you're kind of looking for overlap there.
Sure.
And seeing and comparing, and you know, to like what was released and what wasn't. But either way, even whatever they find, you know, they could still say, well, we thought that was personal. You know, there really is no set rule here.
But this is the first time that the tech world could possibly influence a presidential election, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the weirdest election ever. Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people you know, will be voting based on.
Yeah,
what goes down with this?
I am just puzzled.
I mean, they always say tech influences an election, like with social media and outreach and being savvy enough to understand technology. But for the first time, yeah, we have an issue that involves, you know, something about technology. That's where it's different.
But also, you know, people on Facebook are just posting things and making up things just to push their agenda farther along. And that's what I'm having problems with. You know, whatever's in the news, whichever candidate you support, you just find these things, these links to things, like, where did they get these?
I'm with you in that aggravation, especially because we're news people. I mean, you look at the links that are being shared, and I have people in my feed who are sharing these links. They're from websites, not that are news websites, but literally one I saw yesterday was iamright.org.
Right.
.com. And I'm like, that's not a website. But what they do is that they're like either completely stretching the truth, completely fabricating things. You know, there really is a call to, you need to, as a responsible citizen involved in the election, if you're so passionate, triple check your sources. Where are you, looking at these links? Even Trump's son retweeted a fake news article that said it was from abc.com.co. That was not ABC News. It was just like fabricated news that was like, oh, someone at a rally was paid by Clinton to protest. Well, he ended up taking that tweet down, but people don't think about, oh, that tweet was taken down. They just remember the wrong article that was shared, and they assume it's fact because they just see these headlines. No one's even clicking. They just see these headlines, and they see articles, and they share. They're not really diving deep. I think we all need to be more responsible because all these fake websites, they're just making money off the clicks. It's all clickbait, and they don't care about it being true or not. And people who want to keep feeling like their opinion's right, you know, they don't tend to really look deep. They just go, oh, see, my opinion's right. Let me share this.
So that video I've been watching of Clinton and Trump singing "I've Had the Time of My Life" and "Dirty Dancing," that's fake?
You're onto it, yeah.
Oh, no.
But see, the sad thing is somebody's going to believe that really happened.
I honestly
feel like during especially a heated election like this, there should be no political posts allowed on social media.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, impossible, too.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Another thing that came and went before I even played around with it is my kids were talking about Vine. That was a pretty exciting thing where you could get like a little snippet of a video. What's going on with Vine?
Vine is dead. So, yeah, it came and went. You're right. So Vine was bought by Twitter after it came out, but it was a 6-second looping video clip that you made, and you could be really creative in how you made it, and it blew up in terms of like like, what are you going to say in 6 seconds? It wasn't so much that. It was, how creative can you be in 6 seconds to be funny, to be artistic, and or just to show a snippet of life that is so weird and have it loop over and over again, like an animated GIF loops over and over again. We had a lot of great internet culture moments even come out of it. I mean, there's a lot of things were shared. You know, the phrase on fleek, that came from someone. No? Well.
Kevin, do you know this? What's it called?
On fleek. Like, if you say...
Like, Bill's hat is on fleek right now.
It is.
It's a good thing.
All right.
Yes. It was something that came from Vine culture.
Oh.
We shared so much. And so now, what Twitter said, you know what, we're dropping it. I think when Snapchat came along and Instagram started doing the same thing, because everyone copies each other, people who were big stars on Vine, because yes, there were Vine stars, people were very popular and had a lot of followers, they weren't getting paid, and people were getting paid on Instagram, or there's also other places to spend your time. So, you know, you're on to the next thing, I guess, when there's so many different, you know, modes of entertaining people. But and the funny thing is that the people who made Vine, they just launched another app. So there's something else now to take your time up and be very weird. It's called Hype. It's another way to broadcast live video, just like Periscope, just like Facebook Live. But what's so different about it is that it is weird. It is like you took all the weirdness of the internet and packed it into a way to broadcast video. So you're blending YouTube with internet memes and emojis, but you're also live at the same time. You have a show. So you can, while doing video, throw in a bunch of animated GIFs and text and flying pizza slices and stars flying by. I mean,
you piqued Bill's curiosity.
Now I'm in.
On that
I didn't
one.
Like it until then.
So when you're broadcasting, you're able to be as creative as you can imagine, and even in real time, you know, make things move and interact with your audience and have their comments pop up and answer them. So
we're too lazy.
Yeah, it's too much for us. Can we still say on fleek, or will we get arrested if we say that?
Totally still say
I'm
it,
still
but
say
I wouldn't
it.
Recommend it. You'll look a little dorky, probably.
All right, that's fine.
All right. Well, I'm actually having fun with Snapchat. I have to tell you, I don't have I don't follow a lot of people, and I don't let a lot of people follow me. But I just have fun making stupid little Snapchat videos of my dog.
Because it's creative, right? Because they're short, and you have to kind of be funny in a short amount of time. It makes you think differently. I think that's where these things take off. But with this new one, Hype, will it take off if people join it? Maybe. But right now, you can't really share it on other networks. You just have to, like, find and discover it on your own. And it's a little bit secret in how to learn how to use it. I'm actually working on a how-to use it right now for CNET, and I'm struggling because there's no tutorial. You just have to figure it out. And I think people like that about Snapchat, and maybe they'll like that about Hype if it takes off.
All right, in the CNET update, you're going to figure out how to work Hype, and what else do you have going on today?
We're also talking about how Microsoft is pissed at Google. Can I say that on radio? Sorry.
Google? Yeah, you can say Google.
But Google just publicly announced that Microsoft Windows has a major security flaw, but Microsoft couldn't fix it. So it's like advertising to the hackers, hey, come and get Microsoft. I mean, Google says, hey, we gave them a week, but, you know, is that enough time to fix something? So it's controversial. Google says it's important enough to announce it. People are talking.
That's so on fleek.
Wasn't that a banana split?
Yeah, fleekle.
All right, she's Bridget Carey. You can find her at CNET.com and watch her CNET update. Thank you so much, Bridget.
All right, thanks, Dr.
Bye, Bridget. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then some news from Steve, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And, Bill, I got to tell you, you pitched this guest idea saying, boy, it's really going to hit home with you.
It will. You'll see. You'll see. Tracy Egan and Rangan Altoy are in studio with us right now. They are the brains behind You Can Only Take the ACT 12 Times. It's a one-woman show, a comedy written by Tracy. Rangan, of course, directing it. Hi, ladies. Thank you both
Hello.
For being here.
Hello. Thanks nice for having us.
Tell Wendy what she can expect, because it's
I'm
a mixed
at this
bag,
phase right
it?
Now.
Oh, it's a horrible phase. It's a beast. I'm saying, it's just, you know, the college application process has grown into this unwieldy, high stakes, uber expensive time in a parent's life and a kid's life, and it's terrible and it's frightening. And I'm sorry. Should
no,
I say that?
No. And you know, here's the thing. And Bill,
fun.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah,
Bill, you have two daughters, and I, you know, I feel for you because they were doing it at the same time,
right,
which is double the trouble.
Right.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. There's something about a teenage boy that is much different than a girl getting it done.
He's not done.
He's not finished. He should be, and I don't know what he's waiting for, but there is a lot of pressure where you can get like early results or whatever,
yeah,
but then you have to, you're in a contract where you have to go. It's like what,
the early
what,
decision process. I
what
think
did
that deadline
all start?
Is this week.
He's not doing that.
Yeah. It's a crazy beast. It's really become, I mean, I laughed the first time someone told me they had a spreadsheet to navigate this process. A parent was like, you know, a spreadsheet when the dates are due, when the tests are, when you have to turn the transcript request forms. And I was like, a spreadsheet? That's kind of funny.
Well, don't people start prepping for this? I mean, you go, well, if my child is starting college in the fall, I can start a year out. But people start this 2, 3, 4 years early, don't they?
Oh, they start giving you things about that when you are touring high schools, if you happen to have a kid in the Chicago public school system,
yeah,
you don't just get to go to your neighborhood school.
Right.
I mean, of course you get to, but you know, if you're,
you want to look at a specialty school,
a little higher strung than that, then you're
right,
putting your kid through this other stupid process.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful process. It's not
sure.
Stupid.
Who said stupid? We meant
like
wonderful.
They're talking about college at that point. So when your kid is in eighth grade, they're talking about it.
Yeah.
And you get to that first parent initiation of your high school, and they're talking about what the hoops they're going to have your kids jump through to get to college.
That's right. The first thing they said to us in our parent meeting freshman year of high school was, okay, here's what colleges would like to see from your student.
Oh, great.
Like, wait a minute, am I in the wrong meeting?
Yeah, right.
Aren't I just talking about a 14-year-old right here?
Yeah.
That's
so frightening. Yeah, it starts early.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pull the trigger for him, I think, to finish it. And, you know, people balk when I say that, too, because it's like, oh, this is a time when your child has to fill something out on their own to show that they really want to go to college. I've talked to numerous parents who have helped grease the path for that.
Well, that's a thing. If you're the parent that sits back and then every other parent edits their kid's essay, well, you know, how do you compete in that field?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
well,
and besides,
really
the thing
becomes such a competition.
And the process costs, you know, the college education is like $200,000 now or something. That's the sticker price for 4 years. How can you sit back and just let your child?
Well, I guess they weren't ready.
Right.
You know, I don't even know how to do it. How are they supposed to know how?
Right.
So what was it about this process that you said to yourself, boy, would this make for a great show? Because it really it's a combination of everything, but mostly frustration.
Yeah, exactly. And high stakes.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, the stakes are so high and that there's not a lot about it. And there's a lot of competition and secrecy, all of which is very funny to me.
Yeah.
And I actually had someone say to me in all seriousness before, right when my daughter started high school, you know, they were talking about their kid's ACT experience. And I said, oh, well, you know, she's only a freshman. And she said, oh, you want to get on that? And I said, well, she'll probably take it a couple times. And the woman turned around to me and said, well, you know, you can only take it 12 times.
Oh, my
God.
And I laughed. I mean, that was my response. And she said, no, I'm serious. 12 is it. That's all you get.
Do some
kids
take it 12 times?
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
So you can you select the highest of those scores, correct? Is that how it works?
Exactly.
They'll take the highest for you, correct?
Yeah. Any college will take the highest scores. But, you know, the ACT, that's the title of the show because that line just struck me as so amusing. But the whole process is that fraught.
Right.
And to me, I relish the most being able to laugh about it with other parents and hearing other stories of parents that, like, really didn't care.
Do you know anyone, like, when we all took it?
Crawl under your bed.
You have to, right. Do you know anyone who took it more than once? I know one of my friends took it twice, and everybody's like, can you believe you took it a second time?
I know someone who took it eight times.
Eight times.
Yeah. My son took it junior year and senior year. And
so
they were
twice.
For free.
That's the other thing, right.
You know?
I mean, they do that. They
with the class.
Start out the PSAT. I was talking to someone whose kid is at Lane right now, and they are already, the freshmen are already taking PSAT.
Yeah. Maybe he even took it more because they get every year they get, maybe it's $75, but they take it with the class.
Remember.
So you figure, all right, go ahead and take it with everyone else.
Yeah.
And then there's also the test prep classes.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
talk about that in this, I don't think.
And there's coaches, right, who specifically yes. you can hire to help coach you to take these
yeah.
tests.
Yeah. yeah. You can have a tutor. Mm-hmm. My daughter had two of them. The first one said, you want to slow down. Don't worry about not finishing everything.
Right.
And the second one said, the most important thing is to speed up. Make sure you
oh,
finish every question.
That's not confusing at all.
So we basically just spun her head around and then said, go.
And get a 36 out
yeah,
of 36.
Exactly.
When you hire a coach, though, the coach isn't drilling you with facts that might be on the test. They're teaching you test skills, right? Like the best way to take tests, not
yeah.
so much state capitals and warriors of the world. It's all
yeah.
how to better yourself in
yeah.
terms of taking a test.
And there's those tutors. There's also the college coaches.
Yeah, there's
you
them.
Know, some people that hire someone to help their kid navigate high school and out into that application process, which I laughed at until I saw, you know, that all five colleges my daughter wanted to apply to had a whole different set of requirements for each five. And I'm like, ooh,
right.
this is something to keep track of.
And that's another thing that went, like when we went to college, I applied to two different colleges.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was back in the Stone Age.
Yeah,
but
same.
Now you just expected, when my daughter's a freshman and she was expected to come sometime during junior year, I guess, with 10 colleges.
Yes,
10, that she was
they tell you.
To. 10 was the
10.
And it was kind of an assignment.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, well, you know, if you're interested, well,
right.
you know, you may want to look at 10. No, that was what that was the goal. That was it.
Yeah.
Boy, it's changed.
Or you didn't get your A.
Oh my goodness.
Really has. All right.
Yeah.
We'll continue this discussion in just
I'm
a little
sick.
Bit. The play is called You Can Only Take the ACT 12 Times. It's a true story. It's at the Greenhouse Theater. Four shows only, November 3rd through the 6th. That's Thursday through Saturday, 8 o'clock starts. And then Sunday, a matinee, 2:30 start at the Greenhouse Theater. The best way for tickets, Tracy, is?
You can go to the Greenhouse website. That's greenhousetheater.org. Or, you can give them a call.
That's the way to play it. All right,
yeah.
More of this in a moment. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we're talking to Tracy Egan and Rangan Altai. And we're talking about a one-woman comedy show written and performed by Tracy. You Can Only Take the ACT 12 Times, which I know someone said to you and you took it as kind of a joke, but I think parents are really too pushy for their kids. Is it parents? Is it the schools? Who is it?
I think it's both. I think kids get a lot of pressure from their peers sitting around the lunch table and having, you know,
oh, where
one
are you
kid
going?
Say, I got a letter from Yale inviting me to apply. And, you know, then your kid's sitting there and saying, oh, my God, I'll be lucky if I can get into U of I. You
yeah.
know, like, so I think it's kids, other kids. I think it's teachers and counselors that say, you know, you need to apply to 10 schools. And then I think it is parents who, I mean, come on, this is our kids' send-off. You know, we wanted to make them happy. We want to have a good fit.
Sure.
We want them to go somewhere where they're, well, let's be frank, going to be super successful, going to, you know, do really well, to make friends, to all of the stuff that we tried to instill in them
right.
is going to be kind of tested
right.
in the next year when they branch off on their own. So it's incredibly stressful for parents. And I'll add that the kid, because they know they need to separate, is often super surly that senior
sure.
year. So then you have this thing where you're loving them and you're wanting to love them more. And they're like kind of, you know, could you just go away?
Right.
And
little
that's
jerks.
Not at all what, yeah, it's not at all what we need.
And what about like junior college? Why is that just looked upon as if you go to junior college, you've failed? It's a great way to do it.
Isn't that crazy? It is a great way. But again, I think their peers at school are all sitting there listing the five or six schools that they're, you know, going to this coast and that coast to look at over spring break and whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cumulative pressure to make that jump to the four-year school.
There's also a sense of, for parents, that we our kids are such a reflection of us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Which is, of course, not really true, but that whatever their success is a measure of our success.
Right.
So, there
yeah.
you go.
Over the years, I've interviewed a whole bunch of people about this process, and they say the best way to play it is send your kid to a smaller college, a local college, a community college for 2 years, then send them to a big university, because on the degree, it's still going to say they graduated from Boston College, even
yeah.
though they went to 2 years. But when you throw that out your family and go, here's an option we might consider, it's quickly voted down.
Right.
You know.
But especially if they're not sure what they want to do, then I think for sure you should do
it's
the junior
option.
College.
Exactly. And not to mention the fact that a community college will save you, what, like 40 grand
money.
A year?
A lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone is texting us right now. I've been a college admission professional for 25 years, and this conversation is why parents freak out.
It's worthy of freaking out, because there's so much at stake. I mean, the money involved is certainly at stake. The future of your children is at stake. So if anything's going to freak you out, this should freak you out. It's scary.
Absolutely.
And we can't not talk about it because it's constantly being shoved down the kids' throats and our throats. And
I don't even remember. I went to Illinois State. I only made it for a little over a semester. And then I went to Triton College, which I loved. I should have just started there. But I remember senior year in high school talking to my guidance counselor. What do you want to be? Oh, I want to be in radio. Okay, well, where are you thinking? Well, my sister went to U of I. My brother went to ISU. So I guess one of those. I didn't even know Columbia College existed. There were no college tours really back when I was a senior.
Yeah.
And now it's like freshman year. These kids are touring different.
You know, it's become a field trip destination for middle schoolers.
Yeah.
College campus. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Let's plant that seed even earlier.
Wow. When is somebody going to be bold enough to admit that colleges are overcharging us?
It's the most obvious thing in the world. It's already been said.
It's
just been
feel the burn.
Ignored. Yeah. Well,
too late.
I mean, it's and everyone is like, well, that's terrible. We got to do something about
that. But no one does do anything about it. And I guess what can you do about it? But the prices are, it just doesn't make sense, especially.
Who's getting the money?
I don't know.
Bill is.
It's not me.
Yeah, really.
It's not me. But especially if you have a family, we're fortunate and there's only two kids in our family, but I know people with 4, 5, and 6 kids, and you go, how are you going to send six kids to college?
Well, in fairness to the colleges, I think $200,000 for a four-year degree is kind of the sticker price.
Yeah.
And I think if you're one of those kids, I mean, we all know them, the parents that have like kind of played the system and never really had a job, and they end up, the kids go for free.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, I think that there are a variety of ways around that sticker price, and that certainly if you've got a lot of kids in your family and are struggling to foot the bill for them, hopefully there's some help from the schools out there. And I certainly know plenty of people where they don't pay nearly that. Because that'd be impossible.
It would be impossible.
I just want to say that those parents are, most of them are also, it's not that they've never really had a job. They've had a job that just
that
can't
isn't
support
quite
sending
who could?
Six kids to college.
Exactly. Yeah. No
there
job.
There were seven kids
that.
In my family, and then it was an interesting process of getting everybody to a university, which pretty much all of us did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, Wendy and I have discussed this. Somebody I know very well's daughter got a perfect score on her ACT, perfect score, applied to two colleges and was rejected at both, despite the fact that she had a great scholastic career, active at school.
GPA was high.
Everything was on the positive. One of them, Northwestern, said point blank, you live too close. We're looking for more diversity. We want people from all parts of the country and the world, and you live down the street. So what
that
does that tell you?
That doesn't seem fair at all.
What does that tell you? Oh, my gosh. It tells you about the level of competition on the elite end of it. And now I didn't have that experience.
not a perfect score?
No, not quite. We really, really, really tried to break out of those teens. But anyway, I mean, I think at those elite schools especially, it is a whole different ballgame and a whole different level of stress that I can only imagine.
You have to have your show on Nick Jr. in order
to
have that on your resume.
That's the right audience.
Right, exactly.
Seriously.
That's
do the work of Mother Teresa while you're at it.
Well, this is the time that a lot of parents are going through this. I envy you, Bill, that you're finished with this, but then I feel sorry for you because you had two at once.
Yeah, right. I know.
Which was, although I'm sure Terry did most of the work.
Most of it. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
But parents, if you're frustrated right now, you should go laugh about it and learn about it. You can only take the ACT 12 times. It's a one-woman comedy show written and performed by Tracy Egan, and Rangan Altai is the director. And where do we go again? This is Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln?
Yep, Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln in the city, and it's greenhousetheater.org.
And I think we have a telephone number. I hope it's the right one. 773-404-7336.
Tracy's home phone number. Sorry, Trace.
We
apologize for that.
Only four shows. Could you go over that one more time?
Yeah, only four shows. That's this weekend. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8, and Sunday at 2:30.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck with your son.
I'm going to throw up now.
I know. That's the effect. All right. More show after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
No doubt about it.
No
Billy.
Doubt about it.
It's really exciting watching World Series baseball this year. Can I say that?
It is, isn't it? It is.
I'd like to see the Cubs win it. I go back and forth being a Sox fan, but it's time. It's time you guys win it. And
right.
Sunday night when the game happened, the Blackhawks were, that's what I started watching on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
and they won very well.
Mm-hmm. 3-0.
Yeah, and then I'm like, come on, the Cubs have to do it. Look at all these people. Look at the fans. Look at these people who paid so much money to go see the Cubs in the World Series games. They got to win.
You know what's funny is after the game, the post-game show goes on about 90 minutes or 2 hours after the games, and they talk to the players at different times, and almost every one of the players says, I don't want to disappoint the fans. I look out in the crowd, and I see how enthused they are and excited they are, and I don't want to let them down. And that's a very selfless attitude. A lot of people in sports want to win it for themselves or for the team, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I've never heard so much mention of, I don't want to disappoint these fans. I like hearing that.
Well, and to listen to Frank Thomas say, you know, the fans, it's all about the fans. They got to get them stoked. They got to really get them excited here.
Yeah.
You know, they are the ones that can make it happen. Because when you look out there and your fans are just cheering you on, that's got to make you play better.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt about it.
I saw some woman walking her dog this morning, and she was walking past my house, and she had the royal blue shirt that just said Chicago on it.
Yeah.
And I said, are they going to do it tonight? And she goes, oh, I hope so. And I said, you know, I do too. I'm a Sox fan. And she goes, me too. That's why I don't have Cubs. I just have Chicago. But that's what's happening.
Playing
We're all
safe.
Kind of yeah. really here trying. It's got to happen. It's
yeah.
got to happen. They're on a roll right now. I know you think this is a team that if they don't win it this year, they can maybe do it next year. Got to strike while the iron is hot.
Oh, there's no question. Here's the thing. If you were in this situation, if you were a baseball team in this situation, down 3-2 and going into enemy territory like the Cubs are in Cleveland, who would you want more than the guy who won the Cy Young Award last year and the guy who will probably win the Cy Young Award this year? That's a blessing to have that luxury, you know, to have those two guys pitching tonight and hopefully tomorrow night. So I feel pretty good about this. There's no way to feel overconfident.
You're
down 3-2. But they asked Joe Maddon before the last game, before game five, they said, should Cub fans be nervous? And I thought, oh, this is Joe Maddon. He's the coolest guy on the planet. He's going to go, no, don't worry. He goes, oh, yeah, I'd be nervous. You should be nervous. You should always play a little bit nervous. I went, that makes even more sense. That's a great answer.
How can he just sit back and be so calm, cool, and collected in the dugout? There's no yelling at anybody.
No.
I mean,
no.
I don't get it.
You know what you get from him? Every once in a while, you get that thing, and anyone out there who has parents knows this look, or if you are a parent, you know this look. It's that millisecond of disappointment. You just see it in the eye. It's like, I was hoping for a little more out of you. You know,
he just
kind of
shakes his head.
That's it.
You know, that's it. But you could tell.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys are so right. I'm so glad this only happens every 108 years, because I really can't take much more. My heart cannot take much.
Wasn't
more.
Last
or my
night?
Stomach. I'm going to get an ulcer.
Wasn't last night? Last night was great because it was an off night, so you didn't like. Honestly, after 3 nights, after Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of watching 3.5 hours of baseball a night, where my breathing pattern was not normal. I was just watching the game. My heart wasn't beating. I wasn't breathing. Where you go, oh, I need a night off. So last night was a nice night.
And then it was an extra treat because the Bears won
yeah.
for Bears fans.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know how that happened.
They're just trying to steal some of the thunder from the Cubs. That's what they're trying to do.
That just shows you we live in a world where anything can happen. The Bears, the worst team in the NFC, beat the Vikings. I think the best team in the NFC. That's what happened last night. Did you see Kristen Cavallari's tweet today?
No.
Or last night, actually.
What?
Where I don't know if I have it exactly, but it's like, could everybody please shut up now? That's what she says.
I'm not going to say anything else on the matter,
but
Brian Hoyer wouldn't have won that game.
Well, Brian Hoyer didn't play that game
because
he broke his arm.
Right.
Well, and Jay Cutler is the starter. I mean,
yeah.
Let's put it out there.
Right. But it's weird to tell everybody on the planet. You guys just want to shut up now? Did he prove himself?
Does he like that she's sticking up for him like this, that she's fighting his battles?
I don't know.
Does he then go home, honey? Stop it,
right,
man! I'm gonna break your thumb so you can't tweet anymore. You and Donald Trump are tweeting too much.
At least she tweets during business hours.
True.
She tweets at a more manageable time. So the last few nights have been extremely exciting sports wise in the city.
I missed it last night,
but.
I did. I know you guys are. Yeah, and you guys are really. It means more to you. I, as a Chicago fan, would like to see this happen.
Right.
You, as a Cubs fan, would totally like to see this happen. But I missed watching the game.
But you haven't watched, I don't think, you haven't watched start to finish the last few games, have you? Like, honestly,
no.
Over the weekend. On Sunday afternoon, I said to myself, if the Cubs lose tonight, I will have spent this entire weekend planted in front of a TV watching substandard baseball, and that's not what I wanted to do this weekend. I wanted to rejoice and go, well, they finally won the World Series. We're at a point right now, it's two games, and I know it's in Cleveland, and it's their stadium, I get it, but the Cubs are a team that can win two games in a row, it would end up being three after Sunday. But they can win tonight.
Yeah, but this is like a complicated three in a row.
It's a very complicated
three. It's not just like typical in a row, because, yes, they've done it before.
And you're facing some of the best pitchers in baseball. They have an unbelievable bullpen. They're a fast team. These are two of the best teams. There's no slouches on the field right now. Everybody's solid. Kyle Schwarber's a big factor. The fact that he'll be getting to bat three or four times, he can hit a home run on any pitch, that's a big deal.
And did I read that Kipnis, what's his first
Jason
name? Jason
Kipnis.
Who's from Northbrook. His brothers are like really torn because they're Cubs fans, but he's on the Indians.
I know.
That's kind of tough.
He grew up
it's
loving the Cubs.
It's a win for them either way, right?
Yeah,
they don't lose no matter what happens. But he grew up loving the Cubs, going to games at Wrigley. It was a dream come true to hit a home run in a World Series at Wrigley. He's wearing the wrong team's colors, but...
But is it really the wrong team's colors? You love the Cubs, but then you know, if they win, he defeated the Cubs. Is it so bad?
I know this sounds crazy because I want the Cubs to win. I was happy for Jason Kipnis. He hit the home run. It looked like the Indians were going to win that game regardless.
That
they had
was
a pretty
incredible.
Solid lead. But he seems to be a pretty good guy. I was pretty happy for him. I like that story. I wish he was a member of the Cubs and not the Cleveland Indians, but what can you do about that?
I wish Joe Madden would come over to
the
Sox.
There's always next year, maybe.
Don't say that anymore. In Chicago, we need to stop saying wait till next year.
You can't. This is it.
This is it.
And I want Joe Madden to come over to the Sox. Do you think we can make that happen?
I don't know. I know the Bears are looking for a new coach.
You can do a better
just
job.
Yell at the guys. You guys are miserable.
You stink.
You guys are miserable. Who's the guy in the audience? You know, everybody knows about the guy who sits behind home plate and he wears the pink hat.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, pink hat guy, yeah.
All right, pink hat guy is kind of famous.
He lives in my neighborhood.
But what about the guy who's on the other side of home plate, still behind home plate, but to the other side, who dresses like Doctor Who? What's that guy's story? Do you know who I mean?
No.
There's a guy back there with kind of flowing blondish hair, and he's dressed like he's from another era. And he's been at every Cubs home game. He always sits in the same seats. But even my wife said, because I thought I was the only one who noticed that guy, and she goes, that guy's usually in a phone booth. And I go, the TARDIS? He goes, yeah. I go, yeah, he looks like Doctor Who, doesn't he? He does.
I'll have to look for him.
I don't know what his story
is. I'll check some video.
But he's at every game.
And did you like the Bill Murray Daffy Duck song?
I don't know if I did or not.
I did not. I thought it was silly.
At first, I thought he was doing Harry Carey.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because
I wasn't sure.
I wasn't here to talk to you about it. As it happened, I thought, okay, I don't really get it. Like, you know, spray it, don't say it, meaning, you know, let's brag about it. I kind of was taking it to mean that way. And then when he actually was doing Daffy Duck, and people are like saying, oh, he's a comedic genius. I don't really get that.
I like that he prefaced it by saying, let's sing it in the style of one of our greatest performers. Because then, like Kim said, I'm like, well, he's going to sing
right.
Harry Carey,
and that
of
was
course.
Funny.
But then he went
then he
the
did
Daffy
it.
Duck route. I'm not sure what his motivation was. He's Bill Murray. If anyone on the in the city gets carte blanche to do whatever they want, I guess it's Bill Murray, you know?
I know. It just I wanted to pick your brain on that one.
What about the fact that John Hamm shows up, John Hamm from Mad Men, wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat? That's throwing salt in some wounds, isn't it?
Well, I saw people raging about that on Facebook, too, but isn't he from St. Louis?
He is. He's a big Cardinals fan.
Well, so that's why he wore it.
I know, but...
Yeah, but at a World Series games where his team's not even in, and he's in Wrigley Field, their biggest rival, it's kind of...
That seems much, doesn't it?
Well,
and I love him.
If he puts on a Cubs hat, he's just a poser.
I guess, but it's just it just seems a little much.
Come to Switzerland.
It just seems... Like, would you do that? Like, if there was a team you hated, would you show up to their game just to see them lose?
No.
I would never do that.
I totally wouldn't. There have been a couple days it's been hard for me to not put a Sox jersey on, I gotta tell you.
I'm sure.
But I didn't do it.
I'm sure.
And I'd like to see it happen. We have to take a break, and then I have to ask you a question about, speaking of baseball caps, I have a question for you, and maybe you can solve this problem for me.
All right, absolutely. That's coming up next. A whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder talking about a bunch of things, most notably the fact that the Cubs are in the World Series. Game 6 is tonight. Wendy, you had a question about rally caps?
Yes. I didn't know what they were. Jimmy Mack and I were watching the game on Sunday night, and I see these people looking upset when the Cubs were down, and their caps were inside out. And I said, what is that? And he said, that's a rally cap. Mm-hmm. And I said, what, you just turn your hat inside out? And he said, yes, basically.
There's several different versions of the rally cap. The inside out is one of them. Just simply turning it backwards is one of them. Another one you may have seen, they've showed this once or twice during the World Series, is guys that balance it on their head vertically. You know, the cap is usually worn horizontally.
Right.
But they will make it go vertically. They'll fold it in so that it's hanging on their head vertically.
And why do we do this?
Oh, it's proven that it absolutely makes your team win. You rally as soon as you do that. It's a fact.
Where does the rally monkey come in? Wasn't there a rally monkey somewhere? I'm serious.
Was there a rally monkey? I don't know about a rally monkey, but if that's true, I want
that word
part
just
of
makes
it.
You laugh.
I love rally monkeys.
Because I've never heard of the rally hat, cap.
Oh, yeah, forever.
I really haven't. And
it was all the way back to Little League.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Kids do it
My
in Little
kids
League.
Used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
My kids weren't that good in baseball, so maybe that's why. Well, why don't they make a rally cap that is,
it comes inside out already?
Yeah. Well, it could be reversible.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, they all are to some extent.
Not really. You see the inside and the sweat stains?
Yeah, it doesn't look pretty, does it?
So you need to have a rally cap that, you know, like a reversible belt or purse.
Yeah.
You could just flip it either way, and it could be rally in one position and rally in, not rally in the rest.
That's smart. I don't know. Start marketing those. You have time. The game's not till 7 o'clock. You can get them out of the market by then. Can I tell you who I think is the biggest doofus at any baseball stadium? And this includes Wrigley Field. It will certainly include Cleveland. It includes any stadium where this sort of thing goes on, like a World Series. I always love this guy. There's two outs in an inning. There's two strikes on a batter. So the crowd, they show the crowd, and you see some guy stand up, and then he signals the rest of the crowd upon his order. He does this with his hands like, hey, everybody, let's all cheer, because the audience never would have thought of that on their own. They needed this guy to stand up and go, I'm standing and cheering now, so I want everyone in the stadium to stand up and cheer.
See, I would totally not listen to him just if I saw that, just to be a jerk.
They always show that guy. Hey, it's me, Ken, from Cedar Rapids. I'm standing. Everybody stand. Everybody stand and cheer because there's two outs and two strikes.
I haven't been watching enough of the games, you know, cover to cover. I will say that there was a picture in the Chicago Tribune over the weekend, and it had to have been after Saturday's game because it was Sunday's Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of Rizzo going back to the dugout after he did not do well at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
And every fan that is looking at him is showing just disgust on their face. And it really hurts me to look at that picture.
But I don't think it's disgust towards Anthony Rizzo because they love him.
I know, but
I think it's just disgust in the moment of, oh, no, another out, and we can't afford to have an out here, and that means a loss. And I don't think it's toward Anthony Rizzo at all. Do you?
I don't know. The way that picture was captured, there's sort of one guy who's kind of going, eh. But
in the crowd?
Yeah. Where he's not just glaring. A lot of people just have their hands on their mouths and they're just looking at him like in a very mean way. I know they're disappointed. So is he.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. They've caught him on mic a couple times just kind of swearing at himself. Like, I popped the ball up now. This was a bad time to pop the ball up.
But if you look at that picture in the Tribune, and if you have Sunday's Tribune, look at it. It's in the little Cubs section. Yeah, because there's not one person. I just kind of wanted one person to kind of have, like, their fist up like, oh, that's all right, man.
We'll
tried.
Get him next time, Tony.
Yeah, just something like that.
Yeah,
it's just this somber look of people, and it's just, it makes me... disappointed
right.
in Chicago fans.
No, there's no scorn towards Anthony Rizzo. Have you seen these people? There's two people. My wife asked me about these guys. There's a husband and wife, I believe, or at least they're very close. It's none of my business what their relationship is, but it's a man and a woman. And when the pitcher is winding up, when the pitcher on Cleveland is winding up, and they've done this with a couple of different pitchers now, they make their hands spin around really fast so as to throw off his concentration. And my wife said, does that work at all? And I say, not even a little bit. Like, if you're a major league pitcher, that's not good. The fact that there's two people spinning their hands around really fast, motorboating their hands,
jeez,
that's not going to mess you up. It's just not. It's like the equivalent of in football, you know, when they have those giant plastic noodles and they spin them back and forth.
Those are stupid.
To screw up a kicker. I don't think that's going to work.
They really do that? Yeah. Like they're at Kiddyland on those little.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept thinking, track.
Those guys have box seats behind home plate. They're probably down $9,000 for that pair of tickets, and they're spending the whole game making their hands go in.
They're having fun.
They're having fun.
And something and I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't even bring this up, and I'm sure people have noticed it, but I can't get past it now with Tony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo. I call him Tony.
Oh, you just
close.
Did.
I'm allowed to.
I just call him Rizzo. When he goes up, first of all, Chris Bryant will get up and bat, and he has a very weird stance because he's tall.
Yeah, he crouches in a weird way. He bends his knees, makes the strike zone a little smaller.
Right, and holds the bat, you know,
way
back.
Yeah.
And so I watch that because he's a tall drink of water, and you watch the knees bend. And then Rizzo gets up, Anthony Rizzo, and he does like he pumps the air a little bit. Three times.
Yeah.
It's like I can't get past looking at that because it looks like if I'm the pitcher, are you ready? Are you done pumping the air here three times? Are you? Because it's like the pitcher's on the mound ready to go and Rizzo's ready to roll, but he gets those three pumps in.
Yeah, it's baseball is so superstitious.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. I mean, everything from the rally caps to that air pump to whatever.
to the couple rolling their hands.
You know, if it was warmer, I'd want to sit by them because they were creating like a fan effect. I'd go, oh, a little more to the left. Oh, that's it. Now we're hitting it. But yeah, I watch those people and I think, okay, I'm at home and it's distracting me. But I think if I'm a major league pitcher, I just go, what do I care?
But if I'm a major league pitcher and I'm watching Rizzo or Bryant and they have just these weird little
quirky things.
They all do.
Right.
And I can't stop watching Rizzo with just three times he moves in for the count.
That's his thing. Yeah.
Almost everyone
in baseball has like a signature move that makes them comfortable as they approach the plate. If you watch guys, you'll see the
touching their cap in the same spot. Or something.
There was a guy who was the guy when I was a kid. He always used to just reach down and take just a little bit of dirt, rub it in his hands, and then bat every time. I'd see that every time he was up.
Do you remember Dempster a few years ago?
What was
not batting,
thing?
But his pitching. He would do that weird glove twitch.
As he was throwing the pitch.
It was a really bizarre one.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be a baseball player because you have to keep doing it.
Right.
And if you don't do it.
Yeah, then people go, uh-oh.
What happened? Or you go, uh-oh.
You have to be OCD to be a baseball player.
That's part
honest
of it.
To God.
Really.
Do you remember Mark Fidrich, who pitched for the Tigers? He had two things. Number one, he would landscape the mound. Whenever he would go to the mound, he would change the dirt configuration. And then he would also talk to himself. He'd walk around the mound, and you could just see him just talking to himself, trying to encourage himself.
That's wild.
Yeah, but bird, Mark Fidrich.
The bird?
That was his nickname, was the bird. Because he would also eat worms while he was pitching. That's weird, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's on the Wintrust business lunch in just a little bit. Steve will come in. But first, I have something to tell you. The Cubs are in a close shave situation right now, aren't they, with the Cleveland Indians?
Nice segue. I'm also
in a close shave situation, Wendy. I am getting the best shave of my life, and who do I have to thank for it? Harry's Razors. That's who. I'm getting a smooth shave at a great price, too. Big razor companies are always making small changes to their product, always coming out with what they call the newest version. And then you know what they do? They raise their prices, not Harry's. They don't believe in upcharging. This is why they make their razors even better than other companies. And while they do it, they keep their prices nice and low. Harry's five-blade razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, a lubricating strip, a textured handle that'll give you more control. Harry's is so confident in the quality of these blades, they're going to send you their free trial size. Now, that'll include a razor, five-blade cartridges, and a shaving gel. You'll see why I'm so happy with Harry's. You're going to get a free trial size set when you subscribe. All you pay is $3 for shipping. This is just to let you know how good Harry's is. Plus, a special offer just for you, our listeners. Enter code Bill, my name Bill, at checkout.
to get a post-shave balm for free with your order. It smells incredible. Go to harrys.com right now. Enter code Bill at checkout to claim your free trial size and your post-shave balm. That's Harry's, spelled the way you think, H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com. Don't forget code Bill.
You ready for the Cubs game, Bill?
Yeah. Is it starting now?
Nope.
No, 7:08. First pitch, 7:08.
Yeah, that's my area code.
That's a good sign. Wendy, I've adjusted the lineup. I'm going to have Kyle Schwarber bat second, I just decided. So put Kyle Schwarber in the two hole.
I think Joe Madden agrees with you.
Yeah. Oh, is he on board with that?
Oh, okay, come on. Ryan Burrow just walked down here and told you that, Mr. Schmarty
Pants.
Oh,
I thought you heard it in my news.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I like it. You know, it might give him an extra at bat tonight, and this is the guy who could hit the home run anytime he feels the need. So, yeah, put him in there. Let him bet second and fifth.
Change it up.
I want to know what Rich Lankoff thinks. That's really all
I
care about.
If only we could talk to our legal counsel, Rich Lankoff. Wait a minute. He's here. Hi, Rich. How are you?
What a segue from the Schwarbaum to me.
I know.
Not sure I could hold up my end of it.
You
but
could hit a home run anytime you batted to.
Yeah, definitely.
You can. Rich, there's several things we want to talk to you about, but most notably this, the Bill Cosby case, a strange case to begin with. Now, tell us what we need to know about what happened today.
So right now we're in the middle of a probably a two-day hearing in Montgomery County. This is, of course, Bill Cosby's criminal trial, the only trial that he's faced with. Right now, the hearing is about whether the prosecutors can introduce evidence, basically what's called prior bad act evidence. They want to introduce two things. They want to introduce, number one, his deposition testimony that he gave in a civil case about 10 years ago. That will probably be let in. In that deposition, he admitted to giving some drugs and alcohol to this accuser.
He has admitted that?
In the deposition, he said it was consensual,
but he still
admitted that that he gave her these things. But the more controversial part of the hearing is whether the prosecution can introduce evidence of 13 of his other accusers in the criminal trial in this case. So that's really what the hearing is about. And, you know, generally it's a well-established rule that you can't introduce prior bad act evidence.
You cannot.
The idea being just because, for example, someone may have robbed a bank in the past doesn't mean that he robbed the bank in this case.
Yeah.
You know, you could like or dislike that rule. That's generally the rule. So in this case, the prosecutors are trying to introduce evidence that he did this to 13 other women as evidence that he did it to this woman. His defense is, of course, arguing that that violates the prior bad act rule. And you
cannot introduce it. And statute of limitations, right?
Exactly true. The idea is, you know, that they're trying to sort of, you know, gerrymander those crimes into this one. Those crimes are barred by the statute of limitations, as you're referencing. But in essence, his attorneys are arguing that the prosecutors are trying to have 14 trials in one. So generally, that's not something that should be allowed. There is an exception, however.
Rich, if all this information had come forward 15 or 20 years ago, prior to the statute of limitations being up, would he stand trial for each of these women's cases individually, back one after another? He would have, right?
You know, he could have, of course, if there was enough evidence to support bringing those cases, if the prosecutors in those cases, in those jurisdictions, felt that there was enough evidence. But sure, the only reason right now he's only facing one trial is because the statute of limitations has expired in all but one of these.
Yeah.
So the exception in this case, if you're interested in that, is you can introduce prior bad act evidence if it establishes a really specific modus operandi, an MO that is a signature of the defendant. So the prosecutors are arguing right now in court that these specific acts were basically his signature, and as such they should be introduced as an exception to the prior bad act rule.
Is this ever going to go to trial?
You know, it's currently scheduled to go in June of 2017, so we're, you know, a few months away. But his attorneys are really, you know, putting a full court press on. There's been a lot of motion practice, a lot of attempts to keep out evidence. So, you know, whether the June trial date is a go, who knows? Depends on how a lot of these motions go.
And there was a while that his attorneys were pleading our sympathy and saying, you know, he's an older man right now. He's going blind. Let's go easy on him. Does that make
does
a
that
difference?
Have to do with
listen,
anything?
I mean, blind men, older men should still, you know, face criminal charges. Obviously, that was something we saw here in Illinois, and that Denny Hastert case.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of argument that he was old and in a wheelchair, and the U.S. attorney, you know, quite appropriately, in my opinion, said even old, you know, even old men in wheelchairs have to face justice. So they have attempted, Bill Cosby's attorneys have attempted to use his advanced age of 79 and the fact that he's blind.
Yeah.
Only 79. Boy, he's aged.
Yeah.
It looks a little older.
Yeah.
You know, they've literally said that he can't see his accusers, like, you know, literally can't confront them. But, you know, so be it. I mean, the fact that he's has some health difficulties doesn't mean he should be shielded from prosecution.
If Bill Cosby isn't Bill Cosby, if he's just a guy, he's not a celebrity, does any of this play out differently?
I think so. I mean, it's a great question. You know, the former prosecutor in this county in Pennsylvania where he is standing trial had decided that the same evidence that we're, you know, dealing with now was not enough to prosecute. There was an election and the new prosecutor was elected on the platform partially of prosecuting Bill Cosby. So if he was Bill Smith, would that be an issue in that election? Obviously not. Would there be this much time and attention devoted to it? Probably not. You know, this case either would not have been prosecuted or might have pled out much earlier.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, it's a high profile case, maybe the highest profile defendant ever accused of, you know, rape, or certainly one of them. You know, you think of Mike Tyson, a couple others, but Bill Cosby's right up there. This probably wouldn't be this far had it not been Bill Cosby.
Did you see, and Wendy, I haven't even talked to you about this because you've been gone for a few days, but over the weekend, Tippi Hendren came out, the actress Tippi Hendren from the movie The Birds.
Birds.
And said that she was sexually assaulted by Alfred Hitchcock.
Which has been out there forever. I mean, haven't we heard those stories?
Yeah, it's been alluded to, but I don't know if she's ever come straight out and said, here's what happened.
Right.
He took advantage of me, and this is what happened. Now, Alfred Hitchcock is no longer with us. All you're doing at this point, of course, is bringing up a very, very checkered past for a guy who there have been allegations about for years and years and years. But with Bill Cosby's case, it's a little bit different because he's still among us. He's still alive.
Right. I mean, he's still subject to prosecution. I mean, I think, you know, the good news, in my opinion, for a lot of these cases, Tippi Hendren, you saw recently last week, Clarence Thomas, another accuser, came out and accused him of groping her. Clarence Thomas, of course, the Supreme Court justice. You know, you're creating an environment, certainly the Trump accusations, hopefully, of women coming forward.
Yeah.
Now, certainly the defendants have the right to stand trial or face their accusers. But, you know, we've had Gloria Allred on Legal Face-Off a couple times last week. You know, she leads a lot of these charges. So I think it's a good environment when women can now come forward, even though, you know, many years has passed.
All right, here's my question. You bring up Donald Trump, and I didn't really want to get into it, but it's been brought up, these women who are accusing him, and he says, absolutely false, not happened, I'm going to sue them. They'll find out, won't they? I mean, you can't just, I know people do make accusations and say that they've been, they've had issues with someone when it's not true, but people check these things out. Can't you figure out if it's true or not?
You know, the problem with that is, you know, as Bill Cosby's attorneys, for example, have stated, with the passage of time, obviously the ability to confirm some of the accusations, you know, dissipates as memories fade. As physical evidence goes away, you know, there's DNA testing, but that is not as reliable as time progresses. So, you know, a lot of it comes down to whether you believe the credibility of the accuser versus the accused.
Right, right. Rich Linkoff is here. We're talking about the law. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Rich Linkoff is here. He's our legal counsel. Overworked, many people say, because of all the hours he puts in for us, fighting our battles. We talked
Speak
about the
for yourself. I don't have any legal battles right now.
Not currently, not today. We talked about the Bill Cosby case. Rich, if you wouldn't mind, let's comment a little bit about this clerk in Markham who was kind of pretending to be a judge, even though going to specifics
was it Halloween?
With me. It was not Halloween. The judge was aware of this. The judge was overseeing this, right? What happened?
Yeah, you know, my kids sometimes dress up as judges. We have these mock trials. But,
sure.
Is that what you do at the Linkoff House?
It's really fun to put my kids through a mock trial. It's a blast. This is a clerk who worked in the Markham Courthouse. Her name is Rhonda Crawford, who is actually a candidate to be an elected judge coming up here in a few days. She won the Democratic primary, and she is accused of, in fact, has admitted to wearing the robe of the judge that she clerked for. The judge's name is Valerie Turner, and actually hearing cases.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this is a clerk. This is a licensed attorney, but certainly not a judge, who is on the bench wearing a judge's robe, hearing cases. And at least in three of the cases, she made rulings and wrote on the ticket. Now, yeah, minor cases, but nonetheless, these are actual cases that probably, if you're not a judge, you probably shouldn't be acting like a judge.
Right.
So there's been a lot of fallout from that point.
Did she wear a trainee badge? You know, a lot of times you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress will just say trainee.
Yeah.
Is she doing that?
Judge in training.
Yeah. There was no.
Here come the judge.
There was no such sign.
No, you have to put a sign up.
Right. In fact, you know, there was discussion during the court call about congratulating her on becoming a judge. She talked about probably going to sit on the criminal bench when she was elected. So there was a lot of discussion, including among the bailiff and the judge about her being a judge. And at no point did she come on and say, "Oh, by the way, I'm not a judge,
right,
so maybe you should stop referring to me as a judge."
Right.
So,
The actual judge was there kind of overseeing this, which makes it even stranger.
How does that happen?
The judge, Valerie Turner, according to the allegations, was introducing her as a judge, made a big announcement that we're going to switch judges now and let Crawford come in.
Right.
Let
go to the bullpen.
Right.
Go to the left-hander.
call for the closer.
Yep.
So the judge is now on medical leave, I think independent of this. Has not faced any criminal charges, but is subject to the Judicial Inquiry Board. So, yeah, a lot of shenanigans going on there in the Markham Courthouse.
That's weird. All right, there's another story in the news about hot cars. Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, the prosecution in the case involving a 2-year-old toddler who was left in his car by his father in Atlanta and subsequently died from hypothermia. Prosecution rested late last week, and the defense is now presenting their case. It's going on right now. The prosecutors are alleging that this was intentional, that his father purposely left him in the car when he went to his job at a Home Depot.
In full 8-hour day.
Yeah. Well, at one point, he came back to the car at lunch. Prosecutors say that he, you know, should have known that his kid was in there. He says that he was only putting some light bulbs, opened the door, threw the bulbs in. There's been some evidence introduced of him sexting with a minor, also visiting some websites. But, you know, frankly, from following the case now for a few days, I think it's in its 18th day. The prosecution case is actually pretty weak. You know, for example, they allege that he visited a website that dealt with how to, you know, be free from fatherhood. It was actually something that someone sent to him, and he replied that that's gross. So the case is a little shaky right now. The defense is putting on their case. They just put on an evidence, a real estate agent, who said that the father was contacting him about getting a condo in a good school district. The point being, he was looking at a future with his son.
Yeah.
So, horrific case, obviously, all the way around. The question is whether the father is guilty of
it. It is horrific. And, I mean, no one believes that person, and it's hard to. But people make mistakes, and people, I don't remember if his defense was he thought he already dropped the kid off at daycare or something.
Correct.
I know you say, how can you forget that? But I'm telling you, people forget things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've seen some other cases similar, not to this extent. You know, one of the key pieces of evidence is it was only about 2 minutes between his house and the daycare. So it's, you know, that's a pretty short period of time to forget. But yeah, I mean, listen, certainly parents, there are examples of forgetting kids in the backseat to this extent. You know, over several hours in hot temperature, that seems a little odd.
Yeah.
Whether there's enough to prosecute, you know, we'll see.
Very
wow.
Scary.
Insane.
Tough case.
Rich, thank you very much. If people want to hear you, the best way to do that is?
So we're on Legal Face Off. This is a podcast on WGNplus.com. You could follow us on Twitter. We've got a Facebook page, WGNplus.com. We've got, you know, pretty good guests coming up this week. We've had Gloria Allred on, who mm-hmm. represents some of the Cosby accusers. This week we'll be covering this case. We'll be covering some celebrity news. There's always some, you know, good celebrity lawsuits that we cover.
What'd you do, Lev?
I didn't do anything.
Bill's always a good source of content for us. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
That's
Rich Lenkoff. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Go Blackhawks. Go Cubs.
Yes. Could you say that one more time? I like this. I like the sound of that. Just the Go Blackhawks.
Go Blackhawks.
Again, and
go
what
Cubs.
Else? Go Cubs. Yes.
I know I'm not saying it completely enthusiastically, but I want to just see it happen.
As a White Sox fan.
I go back and forth. I got to be honest with you. I really do. But it's good for the city. It's good for the fans.
It's good for America.
It is good. Just
you These are troubled times, Wendy. Did you read about this? We're in troubled times.
I am so with you on that, Bill, that it would be good to have something good come out of Chicago.
It would unite the nation, except for Cleveland.
Yeah, I know. But Chicago has such a bad rap all the time, and the Bears winning one stupid game last night isn't going to do it.
No, now the Bears are in that mode of, well, let's see if we can screw up a future draft choice. Let's win enough games so that we don't get a decent draft choice.
And take away the Cubs' thunder.
Right.
That's what they did.
Right, right. I think you're going to see some good things tonight in Cleveland, both tonight and tomorrow. I'm very optimistic.
Let's get it over with. So then there's one on the north side, one on the south side, and then may the best team win.
See, you're saying you want the Cubs to win sort of like when you want your kids to get the chicken pox so it's over.
No, I believe in vaccinations, so no.
What are we going to do, though, without Pete Rose's post-game analysis after every game?
My God, what has happened to him?
You know what? I want to speak up in defense of Pete Rose.
Please.
He's 75.
Is he 75?
Yeah,
that is not that old, guys.
No, it's not that. I'm not saying that it's that old, but
His bow tie is 75 inches wide.
I think when you get to be 75, you're allowed to be a little more eccentric than when you're 65 or 70.
And that's the word, though, that describes Pete Rose's current behavior. He's eccentric.
Yeah.
Like, he says stuff, even like the other guys on the panel, they nod and they look at each other like, what's he talking about? He just says anything.
The one time I was listening, he was saying how Joe Madden was letting the Cubs come in late. It's a late start. Don't be stressed out. And somebody asked Frank Thomas if that's how you did it. And he's like, no, we'd get in the ballpark. And then Pete Rose, oh, you got to get your game face on. He was making sense. Sometimes he does.
And then he said, where's my slippers?
Yeah, well, that bow tie, honestly, it keeps getting bigger every night. It's wider and wider.
At the end, he spins it around and he just levitates off the panel. I don't know how he does it. It's crazy modern engineering. Yeah, that's what I'm going to miss the most when all this is over.
I can get him at your house once a week.
I don't want that.
You ever run into one of those people who you don't really understand what they're saying, but you give them the same reaction all the time?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
That's Pete Rose. Kind of Pete Rose.
That is Pete Rose.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And, you know, we're all used to Frank Thomas because he was a Chicago fixture for years and years and years. But it always throws me, Derek Jeter's voice does not match his look.
I know. I told you that.
Very
it's kind
soft.
Of, it's like a, hey, what's up with that?
Elmer
Fudd.
Yeah.
It's very, very soft.
Way softer than you'd expect from a guy, the brawn of Derek Jeter, you know?
No, am I thinking that or A-Rod?
Well, Alex Rodriguez is not there. Derek Jeter.
Oh, that is who it is then. Okay.
Yeah, that's who
I got him mixed up. I'm sorry. But yes, he sounds like a wascally wabbit a little bit.
Right.
He is there?
No, it's from the NTSB. No, that's A-Rod.
Bus crash in Baltimore.
It's not Derek Jeter.
No, it's. I thought so because I'm like, do you think he speaks in that voice with Madonna?
Oh.
Yeah, and I got a bone to pick with you, by the way.
Go ahead, I'm ready.
I'm serious. I am watching the game, and I said, you know, how can they allow Chief Wahoo to be on their hats? And you're like, it's not on their hat, it's on their sleeve. And I said, no, I saw someone in the dugout with Chief Wahoo on the front of their baseball cap. And you're like, no, that's not there. They have it right on the front of their cap. Have you been watching the same series I've been watching?
The players have the letter C on the top of their cap.
When they were here, it was, I just know that they had Chief Wahoo on their cap. Is it home when they're doing it?
No, it's been the letter C.
No, it hasn't.
For the Indians?
Yes.
No, I just see the letter C.
Has anybody been watching this game? It's on the side of their sleeve, and it's on their hat.
Yeah.
Because I said, you know, I saw somebody in the dugout, and you said, no, it's probably just a fan. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm watching it with Chief Wahoo right on their hat.
No, I don't. For years,
that was Derek Jeter. So why am I even listening to you?
I don't know. I'm dizzy. I'm crazy from the heat. It's 95 degrees outside, Wendy. I'm having hot flashes.
So when you start saying, I'm having a stroke.
Right. That's the problem.
Stick your tongue out.
I'm having a stroke.
Now, is anybody else noticing that Chief Wahoo is on their cap? Why am I the only one?
I didn't see it on the cap.
Are you kidding me?
No. Are you calling up pictures? Steve, are you seeing the letter C or the Indians logo?
Seriously, you're making me feel foolish. Leslie, talk to us.
I don't know what player it was, but I definitely saw the Chief Wahoo.
It's all of them. You know, I don't know if it's home or away.
It was definitely on the field.
I thought that they stopped doing that.
So did I.
And I keep seeing the letter C. Because I always say to myself, that must be confusing for a non-baseball fan. Everybody's got the letter C on their hats.
The majority of the players did have the C on, but there was at least one or two that had the other one.
I don't think you're allowed to wear different hats.
No,
you
guys
all wear the same hat.
It's definitely on them, and I
like front and center in the very middle.
Yeah. Chief Wahoo, right there.
Is it a warm-up hat?
No, it's during the game. Leslie, thank you so much. I meant to bring this up to you.
I don't think I've seen this. Kevin, call Pete Rose.
How come none? Aren't you guys watching the games? How come no one?
The games are boring.
You're having a stroke.
No, I'm not, and don't joke about that because I might be.
No, it's.
And then you would, Steve, you know, I might just have a stroke just to
make you
feel
guilty. Wendy's
just
trying to mess with you. Don't make her have a stroke.
No. I swear to God, it's because I was saying to Jimmy Mac, we're watching it, and I said, wait, I thought I saw Chief Wahoo. Why is that still happening?
Prominently, like right dead center in the middle of the hat.
Dead center in the baseball cap. And I said, Bill said that they're not doing it anymore. It's the C. And Jim and I were looking at the TV screen. I don't know if it's their home games or away.
Yeah.
Mike, help me here. Am I having a stroke?
You are not, Wendy. Chief Wahoo is on the hat. And we even commented because Chief Wahoo is really not the best looking guy in the world.
No.
It's terrible. It's not pretty,
you know, and it's right. Yes. Mike, is it right in the middle, in the center of the hat?
Yes.
Right.
How
right
could I not be seeing this?
Yes. It's,
Steve, you're not seeing it either?
I don't recall.
The starting pitcher from last game at Wrigley had Chief Wahoo on his hat.
During the game, not just pregame.
Oh, my God. Why do you not believe me, Derek Jeter?
You know, it's based on Vic D'Avelio. I don't know if you remember
the
that.
The great Vic D'Avelio.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
I believe when they're home, the C is on the hat. When they're away, I believe Chief Wahoo's on the hat. That's what we can tell, right?
All right, because I couldn't believe it. I was really shocked, and I
am shocked too. I'm seeing the letter C.
Are you blocking it out?
Yes, I only watch the Cubs parts of the games. So I cover the rest of the screen.
All right,
I don't
want
to be influenced.
Are you a Cubs fan?
I'm definitely a Cubs fan.
All right.
Well, good luck tonight.
We're going to do it tonight.
Thanks, Mike. Positive attitude.
All right. Gina's going to talk to me. Hey, Gina, please. What's going on?
Wendy, I completely agree with you. They have different hats, like they have different uniforms.
For home and away.
I don't know if it's all, you know, the Cubs have two home uniforms and they have two away uniforms. So the pitcher gets to pick what uniform the team is going to wear.
That's true?
Is that true?
Yeah,
what does Derek Jeter have to say?
Derek Jeter has had nothing to do with any of these broadcasts.
That's crazy. Well, that's what's missing.
No, you're missing
a
link.
I want Derek Jeter involved. Is this America? I thought I woke up in America.
I was shocked to see them with the Indian on their hat the other night. I was actually surprised because I knew they have a set of uniforms that use the hats with the Chief on it.
I swear to God I saw it because I couldn't believe it and I wanted to prove you wrong.
So the pitcher can decide. If the pitcher goes, you know what, I think we'll wear leisure suits to tonight's game, then the team has to follow suit? Leisure suit?
No, they have to wear one of the MLB issued uniforms.
Huh, all right. For some reason, I have totally blanked on the Indians logo being on their hat. I've seen it on their sleeve.
I think it may have been only one game, but they definitely wore it to one game.
All right. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Gina. We have more people because now I can't remember if I saw it on the. I definitely saw it on a cap, not just the batting helmet. Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, Tom?
Yeah, that's you.
Wendy? Bill?
Hey, man,
Tom?
It's Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter's not here.
It's not on her hat.
It's what?
It's on her batting helmet. It's not. And the chief is on the hat. The C is on the batting helmet.
That's what I think.
The C is on the batting helmet, but the hat.
I watched every game.
Okay, so you're saying that the Indian Chief logo. I'm telling you, the C is
on the batting helmet.
Okay.
The chief is on the hat when they're in the field.
Well, that's racist, and I refuse to watch. I'm out.
Watch the Sox game then.
All right.
Yeah. Good luck. Hi, Tom. I mean, thank you, Tom. Tom. Yeah, I can't believe it. It really surprised me because the Indians have chosen to wear the Chief Wahoo caps.
Despite protests.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
That is.
And they did this for the last game?
I saw it on the last. I can't remember. I have not. I've watched a little of every game that has passed.
Now, I don't know who this. You showed me a picture of a guy in the Indians. I don't know who he is. He looks like he's a pitching coach. He's an older guy. Right.
I don't know who he is, but I know the team had they all had it on because I was completely baffled that that is still being shown. Jeremy, can you help me out here? Which way did I come in?
Jeremy, are you there?
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right, Wendy. You were right the last time you brought it up and I was yelling at my radio. They had it all. Everyone had it on Saturday. The guy was right before me. He's on the batting helmet. And they probably had it Friday. I was at the game Sunday, so I couldn't even see it. But it's probably just the away game.
See, that's what I thought. And I asked you, Bill, because I thought that was retired.
I did, as did I. I thought that those days were gone, that they would have that logo.
No, we had a big discussion. We had a party at our house, and everybody was talking about it. I was telling them next year it's supposed to be gone. But
this year it's still allowable.
And since they're in the World Series.
Yeah, prime exposure. And, you know, there's a guy, I think I told you this, there's a Blue Jays announcer who refuses to say the name Indians. He'll say Cleveland. When they were playing the Blue Jays in the playoffs, he would not say Indians even one time. He would always just say the Cleveland Ball Club. That was it.
They were Washington.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate it. So well,
I've been living a lie.
A-Rod. Because I know all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I'm just going to back down because I'm no baseball fan,
really. No, you
really.
Know more than me, I guess. Congratulations.
It's not much.
You watch this racist baseball World Series. I'm out.
I'm serious. I thought that was something that was already gone.
Yeah.
And now I'm reading that it's going to be gone. But now that they have the spotlight.
They're still showing him.
He's a lovable, you know, racist character,
it's
I
terrible.
Guess. I know, but it's on their hats for sure, 100%.
No. All right. I'm blocking it out. I only see good in the world, Wendy. You see evil.
Then why do you see me?
I don't see you. I hear you. Are you here?
Hi, John. You're our last call right now, and then we have to take a break. It has been there, hasn't it?
Yeah, Wendy, you are 100% correct. It's been on every game of the playoffs they have chosen to wear the Chief Wahoo hat.
There's no game where they've had a C on their hat?
No. Bill, you're right. Usually the starting pitcher gets to pick.
Yeah.
But this appears to be a top-down organizational decision. It has been literally every game of the playoffs they have chosen to wear the Wahoo hat and the navy blue tops.
Because the Indians are owned by General Custer. Did you know that, Wendy? He's the team owner, so he gets to choose.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's their owner.
I thought the pitcher chooses.
No, it's General Custer.
Yeah, they're saying it's their secondary logo, but they have chosen to use it for the entirety of the playoffs.
Well, even more reason to beat them now and show them that good reigns supreme.
See?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just trying to pull everybody together
it's
in
working.
Support of Chicago.
It's working.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
All right. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back. We have more show. It's Derek Jeter, Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Does Stephanie Menendez realize we're in the middle of a radio show?
She does not. Do you want to tell her? She's our boss. One
Stephanie,
of our bosses.
We're in the middle of a radio show, and it's Judy Pilak's birthday.
Happy birthday, Judy Pilak. You can see Judy on the post-game show tonight with Pete Rose and Derek Jeter.
She'll be sitting on Pete Rose's shoulders. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would
and
be
he
something.
He won't even know.
He'd love it.
All right. I have been bothered by the fact that you're giving me wrong information.
I guess I am. I apologize. I thought the Cleveland Indians for the playoffs in the World Series would sport the letter C for Cleveland,
And instead, as you've pointed out, sometimes they wear the Chief Wahoo logo.
I have seen the sea cap.
Some say is racist.
It's
a bad depiction of Native Americans.
It is.
It is.
And I know that you've been in Major League and Major League 2.
Yes.
And you're awesome in it. And
it's
I know
nice of you.
You really are just really great in it.
Thank you.
Should try acting again someday.
Nah.
So I know you like the Cleveland Indians. They have a special part in your acting life.
Sure.
So I brought that up. Oh, Chief Wahoo, you know, are they? No, they've retired it.
Yeah. That's
so,
what I thought.
And I did, too. And as I'm looking at it, I noticed it on the side of the jersey. And then finally, I'm staring at it on the cap going, wait, it is there.
All right. Here's why that bothers me. Part of our job is to
be
notice
observant.
Yeah. We kind of have to notice things and then talk about them. I've watched every minute of the World Series. I've not missed a single minute. And in my head, all that I've seen on their caps is the letter C. I have not seen that logo, and I've not missed a minute of the World Series. So how is that possible?
Well, I don't know. And I noticed that Kevin and Steve Bertrand were not very quick to defend me, and I think it's just because they weren't quick to defend me.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have been the only one who noticed Chief Wahoo on the baseball caps. Kathy, they did have a C, too, at some point, didn't they?
Yes. But in your favor, Wendy, I'm on the MLB website right now on the Indians page, and prominent on the front page are videos by Francona, an interview with Terry, and an interview with Josh Tomlin, and they are both wearing the Chief Wahoo hat.
And was this during the game, or was this like post-game discussions?
This is post-game last night. They're talking about returning to Cleveland.
All right.
So on MLB.com, the Indians page, Bill, there's definitive proof.
No, Wendy's got, she showed me over 1,000 pictures of in-action photos.
Yeah, during the game.
Of the players wearing the hat with the Indians, with the Chief logo on there. Wow. I don't know how I'm not seeing it. I just hadn't seen it.
Well, in your favor, when the very first time I saw the Fox team, Thomas and Pete Rose and whatnot, I thought it was Derek Jeter also.
You did. Right.
Only because they both have those beautiful eyes and
yeah.
But once I heard it was A-Rod, that was the end of it.
First time I saw Pete Rose on there, I thought it was a Muppet. I didn't realize it was Pete Rose. A scary Muppet.
Kath, are you a Cubs fan or are you an Indians fan?
I am a Cubs fan.
Well, good luck tonight.
Your heart okay?
You too.
You're breathing all right?
No.
You're a little nervous?
No, a little nervous. I think all of Chicago is.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. We got to have something good happen for this city instead of, you know, the record number of murders.
We're the pennant winners, so we can at least take that home.
True.
True.
Good point. Yeah. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right, Steve's on the line. Hey, Steve, were you talking to somebody?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Were you talking to the radio?
You are both right.
Is that possible in today's day and age? Can two people be right?
No.
The C is on the batting helmet. Chief Wahoo is on their playing caps.
But in some of the games, isn't the C in the middle of their baseball caps while they're out in the field in some of the games? Am I imagining that?
Chief Wahoo has been on at least all weekend. Chief Wahoo was on the baseball caps when they're in the field. When they are batting, the C is on the batting helmet.
All right. I'm handing in my badge. Much like every cop movie I've ever seen, when you realize
right.
The days are
You're
too tough.
Right. It's all good.
Yeah, all right. All right. All well, right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. It does bother me that you didn't notice, but you have blocked it out.
I swear, if it was the kind of thing that I turned the game on for 5 minutes or 10 minutes one of the days and then 5 or 10 minutes the other, then you go, all right, well, he didn't see everything he thought he saw. But I have not missed a single minute of the World Series, and in my head, that Indians logo, the Chief Wahoo logo, has not been featured except for their sleeves.
Have you noticed Kazoo on Josh Tomlin's shoulder?
Yes.
Okay,
throw
good.
A strike, dum-dum. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's there.
All right, well, how come you didn't notice that, Steve Bertrand?
Why are you pointing fingers at me?
Because you didn't. The one time I need you to back me up here, you or Kevin.
Bill, I absorbed the shock on this. This
Bill
is my mistake.
Wendy's right, Bill.
No, I know. I understand
I said it from the beginning.
You
I
did?
Really, I didn't recall, really.
No, I didn't.
I didn't notice either.
But that's
Mr. Observance.
But that's the thing. That's a major part of the ball game. Is there hats? How are we seeing 3.5 hours a night of baseball and not seeing that?
I have noticed Wahoo a few times, and I was thinking of you, Bill, because you had said he was gone.
Yeah, I'm like, well, they're phasing him out. He's not obviously not completely gone yet.
No, he's here in the World Series.
He's right in the World Series. The last place you'd think to look for him.
Wahoo.
All right, a quick break, and then we'll solve more world problems next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. How do you reach us? Well, 312-981-7200 usually gets that done. You can text us there. You can call us there. Try not to suck.
No, I'm saying that to you for the second half of the show. Please.
I'll try now. I can't promise. I'm going to try. We'll see what happens. Did you see that John Kasich from Ohio has decided that his vote shall go to that of John McCain, Senator John McCain, who is not running for president this time? He ran last time.
He ran a couple
times.
Two times ago. Yeah.
2 times ago. And not this time.
I almost voted for him 2 times ago.
I know I've told you this before. In all the elections that I've been eligible to vote for, it's almost always the lesser of two evils. I always kind of like one
candidate.
For
reals this time.
Yeah. When he ran against Barack Obama 8 years ago, I liked both guys.
Yeah.
I liked both guys a lot.
I'm with you.
That was a tough one. And I still, there's a lot about John McCain that I like, but I don't know if at this point voting for him is a vote well spent.
Well, see, here's my point with this whole election. That is poor sportsmanship from John Kasich right now.
Do you think it is? How
yeah,
come?
Because he's saying, go ahead and throw in a vote that doesn't matter. That's the wrong way to come upon this election.
Well, he doesn't like either the major party candidates running.
I know. There are a lot of people that are like that.
Okay, so he shouldn't be forced to vote for one of the two of them.
I know. It just, everything, the whole system is flawed now.
I can't figure out how to play that, because if you do feel that way, and a lot of people do, not happy with either of the two candidates, the ones that are the viable third-party options are not really that viable.
No,
it's
they're not.
The Green Party's not going to win.
I was listening to William Weld, the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party today. And he was asked who he's going to vote for. He was talking about the dangers of Donald Trump and like, well, who are you going to vote for? He goes, well, you know, he says, look, I'm going to vote for my own ticket. But
right.
I really think the most important thing is to beat Donald Trump. So in other words, he was like, but the rest of you should probably vote for Hillary.
Yeah. But right. That's the way to say, because that's the best way to say it. Yeah. Right.
But so John Kasich to me is, I don't know.
Kasich is a guy who's. You know, he had a nice little run in the Republican race for president. He might want to do that again 4 years from now. And so he, you know, has made a stand clearly in not supporting Donald Trump. So he needs to cover his bases in a way. If he just says, I'm not going to vote for Trump and implies he might vote for Hillary Clinton.
And that's a problem.
That will hurt him 4 years from now. Right. If he can instead say, look back, I voted for a conservative champion like John McCain. Who wasn't running and didn't have a snowball's chance, that will serve him better in the future.
Steve, have you heard the same stories about Kasich? These are the stories that have circulated over the last couple months, that Trump's people went to him, most directly one of Trump's sons, and said, we're strongly considering you to be my dad's vice presidential candidate. And essentially, you would be kind of the president. My dad would sit back and hold the title of president, but essentially, you'd be running most of the show, but my dad would have the title of president. And he goes, yeah, that's not something I want to do. Thanks, but no thanks. Are you hearing those same stories?
Who'd they say that to?
They're
John Kasich.
Yeah,
really?
John Kasich, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there was the whole cold president story back in 76 with Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan, or maybe it was in 76. Or 80, I don't remember now. But I don't know if those things really happen. Do you see Donald Trump consciously saying, well, I'll just be the figurehead, you be the real president? That seems unlikely.
But I see his son saying it.
Yeah, well, we know how to handle dad.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And then Paul Ryan goes on today to say that he has cast his vote. He voted
for
early
Trump.
For Donald Trump, but he's not going to support him on the tour.
But just the vote in itself.
The campaign, I know.
Just voting for him and then admitting and saying, yeah, that's who I voted for, that is kind of endorsing him, isn't it?
See, that's worse. I don't know.
Well, that's the point. And that's where Kasich stands apart, where he is clearly opposed to Donald Trump strongly all along, and he can say, you know, but look, I voted for a conservative Republican, whereas you've got, you know, Paul Ryan, these guys caught in the middle. Well, I'm going to vote for him, but I don't want to be seen with him.
See, that's worse, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the calculation they're making.
All right, riddle me this, Steve Bertrand. If all of us go and vote for John McCain, is there any chance he could win?
Nope.
There's no chance.
I don't think his votes would even be counted in most places. I mean, I think...
Damn, I thought there was a way out of this one.
So a write-in candidate is literally a waste of a vote.
I think, Bill, I'm not positive, but I think you have to be registered as a write-in in order to have your votes counted.
Interesting.
So you can't write in Jay Cutler.
Well, no. You could, but it wouldn't count. It'd be a miss. It'd be an incomplete vote.
Oh, I know that Mr. Cutler knows what that feels like.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You're calling from the big metropolis of Mankato.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Small town, big future.
Anyway, I was going to help Mr. Leff out on his lesser two evils thing. I heard that that's the way I usually did too, vote for the lesser two evils, but I heard something that I'm going to change my attitude and say the lesser two evils means that there's more good. So I'm going to vote for the more good candidate.
That's the right way to look at it. I like the sound of that a lot more, but you, having lived it, you know what I mean. You look at the two names on the ballot and you go, I don't really like that guy, and I don't really like that guy. So what do I do now?
Yeah, well, I already voted, so I did an early vote, and the guy should, get a few votes in Mantino, I hope.
I have a question, too, for somebody who's already voted, like Tom, for instance. You did an early vote. I don't know who you voted for. You don't have to say who you did, but... if it's Donald Trump, then it's Donald Trump. If it's Hillary Clinton, now with the new leaks, the WikiLeaks coming out, what if people change their mind after new information has been brought forth if they voted early? Shouldn't they be able to change their vote? Is the whole system going to go down now?
I don't think so. You know, if you're going to early vote, then you should have made up your mind. And if you really want to get all the information right after that, then go and vote, because the polls are open for 13 hours, and there's no reason, you know, they used to do that a long time ago. They didn't have this early voting, so you really don't need to change your mind if you voted early.
All right, but should you be able to if, like, new information comes out like it did?
I don't think so.
I don't know how they'd be able to do that.
I know, I don't either. The whole system's broken. Tom, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Now, here's where this gets confusing. I admire John Kasich for doing this, for saying, even though I'm a member of the Republican Party and the Republican Party is saying Donald Trump's our guy, I don't like what this guy represents, so I'm not going to vote for him. And I even respect the fact that he's not a supporter of Hillary Clinton's. I just don't know if this is the best way. I don't know. I can't think of a better way. I don't know what you do then. If you're him, do you just abstain from voting for president? Maybe that's the way to do it.
Vote for all the other ticket items, but not the presidential.
Yeah, you don't have to vote for everything. Maybe you just go, well, I'm not happy with this and I'm not happy with that, so I'll pass on this one. John McCain's not going to be the next president.
Darn it.
So what did he just vote for?
I don't know.
It's a blind alley, isn't it?
John Cass is calling for Hillary to step down and Tim Kaine to run.
Yeah.
That's crazy, too.
That's just because that would make John so happy.
I know, but see, that's what I mean, like with just all these things coming
but
out.
But they said that about Pence 3 weeks
ago.
Three weeks ago, they said Mike Pence needs to take the top of the ticket and Donald Trump needs to go away.
There's no changing it now. We're kind of stuck with what's going on right now. And really, with the new emails coming out, and I keep hearing both sides of the story, one saying this information that comes out it's not going to change what has already been established.
Sure.
Then there are other people saying, oh, it's completely changing everything. You know, she's going to jail now. It's just crazy.
Steve, is there any scenario in which Hillary Clinton could go to jail for what's going on there?
Yeah, I think probably over Thanksgiving if she wants to feed the inmates.
That would be the only way.
Right.
But other than that, there's no way she would go to jail for this, right?
I can't. You mean before the election or forever?
Before, during, or after.
Yeah.
I can't. It seems to be very unlikely. I can't imagine it right now. I mean, look, they investigated. The FBI director said no reasonable prosecutor would charge her.
Yeah.
And that was before these new leaks, though, correct?
That was before they found this new sort of cache of emails that they know, some of which went through the Clinton server. So they think a lot of them might be duplicates that they've already looked at through, because remember, they had the Clinton server for the most part, right. Not all of them. And so a lot of these might be duplicates. They're going to have to look through it. But the idea, if they didn't find something, you know, in all the emails they looked at through her server, will they find something here? I would bet against it. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And you never know either. Once a prosecutor starts going, you never know what crime they're going to find.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, look at this. The Whitewater prosecutor ended up with Paula Jones, or the Iran-Contra, you know, ended up in different areas too.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was an Anthony Weiner investigation. This wasn't even a Hillary Clinton investigation.
It just became
one, so you never know what's going to come.
If she goes to jail for this and Trump goes to jail for assault charges, would they put them in the same cell block, or do they separate them somehow?
I think they would sort them by hair, so they could be together, actually. That's very possible.
Good.
There was some little kid, they posted it on my Facebook page, his parent did. He went as Donald Trump, and it was really an awesome costume last night.
You knew that
the
was
The hair
happen,
was
right?
perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was a supporter, but he sure looked like him. It was really good.
All right, let's take a quick break. A bunch of calls coming in. We're at 312-981-7200. We will accommodate those calls in just a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking about the election and John Kasich's decision to not vote for Donald Trump and not vote for Hillary Clinton, but instead cast his vote for Senator John McCain, a man who ran for president just 8 short years ago.
Wow. Good recap.
Yeah. You know what the politics are right now, Wendy? They're whack. That's what they are. They're whack.
They are. Yeah. Someone said Kasich said he would support the nominee, then he didn't, so he lied to us.
Well, they all said they signed something saying, this was early on, that whoever the nominee is, they have their full support. Remember, because Trump wasn't going to sign it, and then he ended up signing it, and then he retracted and said, well, we'll see who it is first. Well, now, technically Kasich did agree to that, but what are they going to do? You can't put him in jail for that.
All right, and here's somebody who's saying, I am a Republican but cannot stand Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Excuse me. My conscience will not let me vote for him or Hillary. I plan on writing in Mike Pence for president. So how does that work? It doesn't.
See, that's what I'm saying. Is
no that
going to
count?
You write in.
Same thing.
It so is, that won't count for
thing.
A nope. vote for Trump.
Well, it won't count as a vote for Pence.
Right. So no matter who got the majority of the write-ins, if what I'm understanding is right, if they're not registered as a write-in candidate, then it goes for naught, right? You're
not
wasting
100% by that, and it varies, you know, by election jurisdiction, but I think that's the case here. Right. Not 100%, but I think so.
Let's talk to Kevin. Are you 100%, Kevin?
I'm 100% for one simple reason. There's a saying that goes, all politics is local. And as screwed up as the city, county, and state is, how could anybody vote for a Democrat?
Keep going.
Hello?
Hello?
I have a U.S. representative. I live in a town called Oak Forest, and my U.S. representative, a Democrat, doesn't even know where Oak Forest is. So
that's,
you know,
a problem.
If you think about it too much, your head's going to explode. But if you keep it simple, and you know, and you don't have to be told how bad it is in this state, city, and county.
But Kevin, all that confusion isn't based on just the Democrats or just the Republicans. That's based on the fact that they just can't seem to work together, don't you think?
Well, it's been okay. Well, how many Republicans have had a choice? They've been dominated in all three areas for so many years. You can't really say it's. Anything has to land on the Republicans.
I don't know. It could be worse. It's not good, but it could be worse.
Could it be worse again? I can't remember
how.
I
don't know. Any worse.
I know.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Just so you vote, really, and probably don't do a write-in. If you want to, do Bill Leff.
I will not. If elected, I will not serve. You know that.
They'll give you a sash.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. I had questioned whether or not you can change your vote.
Yeah.
If you do an early vote and now new information, which from what I'm understanding is really not any big consequence for Hillary Clinton at this point, although your mileage may vary depending on where you read Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Tom, did you vote early?
Yes, I did. And I won't vote again. But you have the opportunity to change your vote three times.
How?
For the election.
How can you do that?
Because those votes are not, you just go to your local municipality. They have all those votes filed. And so they just, your name is on the back of those envelopes. They just give you your envelope and they take that and they shred that out and you re-vote. And you have that opportunity to do that three times because your vote is not counted until election day.
I'm not sure that's right because they've already tabulated somehow absentee ballots and write-in votes. That's already happened to some extent.
Well, voting
and
early
voting on machines too.
And
so.
Voting early is different than an absentee ballot, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
is. Absentee ballots are for people who are out of the country.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are kept in an envelope.
All right. I'm not positive that's right because I don't know how they could possibly. I can't imagine.
It's a computerized number. I'm sure they can do it.
Well, yeah. But it's a computerized number?
Well, isn't that?
You have to sign the sheet.
Yeah. And there's some code on there, I'm sure, with your name and stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know
I'm
how it goes anymore.
Right.
I vote once, and I vote unhappily every time.
Do you put that on the paper?
Yes.
Before and his representative couldn't find his town. Maybe that guy knows where Aleppo is.
Maybe. Tom, thank you much. According to Tom, you can do it three times. I don't know that. I just feel like there'd be a lot of confusion there, and maybe Tom would get three votes. So maybe
that would be the first time that ever happened in Illinois history.
I know.
It's a secret ballot, so I think they'd be leery to putting your name.
Yeah, right?
But
I can't imagine that.
I can't either, but maybe. I don't know.
All right, well, we have to look into this a little more.
And you have to click your heels three times,
yeah,
did he say?
I think so.
That doesn't seem right. All right, we'll take a break. Steve has the news, and then there is more show. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. Steve, thank you very much. Good luck, Jason Hayward. You know, the other day, I was talking about this with Dave Ennett. Jason Hayward signed a huge multi-year deal with the Cubs. He was a member of the Cardinals last year and seemed to have every skill you'd ever want in a right fielder. Great defensive player, very fast, could hit all fields, had some home run power. So they signed him to a long-term deal. He had a miserable season. He has not had a good postseason. But as I said to Dave yesterday, if he gets a key hit tonight or tomorrow, if the score is tied in the bottom of the ninth inning, or I guess the top of the ninth inning, the Cubs would be batting, and he hits a three-run home run and the Cubs win, Jason Hayward's one of the biggest heroes that baseball's ever seen.
You know, there are a lot of baseball players who can go into the stands to catch a foul ball.
Yeah.
Hayward, this series, actually went into the stands to catch a foul ball out of the stands.
I saw that.
That's very rarely done.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where was the one play that, I don't know who was it, was running to catch the ball, but there were some Indians players.
That was Hayward, too, yeah.
That was
first
interference,
inning of the
wasn't
last
it?
Game.
I can't believe that wasn't called interference.
They didn't call it interference, and it wasn't challenged, but these guys, the ball is hit into the bullpen. They didn't even move a little bit. They just stood there.
He moved after, was it Hayward? After he hit the ground, it's like, oh, wow, am I in your way?
Yeah. I think they made contact, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
It sure looked like it. I couldn't believe that wasn't interference.
Right.
Again, this is the most baseball I've watched, the most Cubs baseball I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
Because I've never really watched a Cubs game.
But you got to admit, kind of fun.
I like baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I couldn't believe that.
Right.
Like, why
Yahoos?
Isn't Wahoo.
You
Wahoos.
Gotta... Chief Wahoos. I understand, because I know how much into the Blackhawks you've been, and how could you not have been the last several seasons. The pacing of a baseball game and the pacing of a hockey game are completely different animals. Couldn't be more different.
Yeah, but I have acquired a taste for the baseball mode now. I couldn't watch the Sox, and I'm a Sox fan. They were sucking so badly the last several games.
Yeah, I know.
Months.
I know.
Half of the season. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
And now it's like this is a great matchup between two really good teams, and it's some great baseball.
Right. And two teams that have been denied this honor for so long, as we know here in town.
Make a great movie.
Yeah, who'd buy it? Who would believe it?
It really is a great matchup when you watch these teams.
I know.
I mean, and like you're thinking everything's, you know, oh, this team's going to win, and then, oh, no, they're coming back. It is a great matchup, and it's I've acquired a taste for watching a baseball game in October. You now November.
What? Now November, November
She's
1.
She's going to be wearing Cubby blue.
I wonder.
I am not. I hate royal blue. I am not. Nuh-uh.
It's not really royal.
Yes, it is.
Cubby. It's Cubby Blue.
Ugh, don't say that word.
I hate that
cubby.
Word too, Wendy. I hate cubby. That word.
Let's go Cubbies.
The Cubbies.
Too cute.
It's stupid.
It's way too cute. Here's something else, and I've noticed this in other years when either the White Sox or the Cubs get to the postseason. It seems like there's one guy that's up every inning. The Indians have a guy named Lindor, Francisco Lindor.
Oh, my God. Shortstop. He's amazing.
He is amazing. He can hit the ball wherever he wants, whenever he wants. But I'm sitting there watching, and I go, he batted last inning, and now he's batting now. And then the next inning he comes up, and I go, you got to wait 9 times. There's a rotation in the order, Lindor. You can't just bat whenever you feel like it. But it seems like he's batting 7 or 8 times a game.
Out of order.
I know. I keep yelling that. Hey, Lindor, you can't keep batting.
You're out of
it's
order.
It's not fair.
He is remarkable. He is a great player.
He's 23 years old.
And he's a hugger. He looks like just a happy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and is he and Javi Baez best friends like they did high school or
grew up in Puerto Rico together,
and they
both
did ball
moved to Florida.
Yes.
They've known each other for years.
They're keeping it loose. They're just goofing around. It's like concentrate on the game.
I like that attitude.
It's cute.
Lindor, you can see him anytime they cut to the Indians dugout. He's standing up. He's cheering on whatever players either batting
Love
or
him.
Making a play. Yeah, he's really.
He's my favorite guy in the whole series right now. I'm sorry. I just really love him. Plus, he looks like Prince. He does.
He does look
he's
a little bit like
Prince. He's got a little
Prince
thing going.
Twice the height of Prince, you know. He's a lot taller than
he's
Prince.
He's not that much taller. He looks tiny, too.
I don't know. He's probably 5'10", 5'11".
He is Prince just...
Prince was just, you know...
Tiny.
Diminutive.
Yeah. Diminutive.
Fun size Prince.
Francisco Lindor is, I mean, you know... It's a great game. It's a great matchup.
But
I'll tell you that right now.
Are you also seeing this? Anthony Rizzo was the first guy I noticed doing this. A lot of putting your arms around your teammates, watching the games. The Indians have been doing that a lot too. A lot of just a lot of hugging. A lot of let's watch the game together. Come here, pal.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
It's a whole new ball game.
Yep. There was some spooning in Game 5.
I
did
miss
you see
that.
They showed in the dugout the guys were spooning?
It was very cold Game 5.
It was
5.
Cold.
I think it wasn't
right.
All affection.
No.
Do we have any temperature for tonight's game? Because the Weather Channel gave me some kind of... Jeez. God, you scare me sometimes, Bertrand.
It's supposed to be like 75 degrees, I think.
In Cleveland.
I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
Now, yesterday there was speculation as to whether or not they would open up Wrigley Field for fans to watch the games.
Yeah, it was going back and forth.
Do we know, Steve, is that a reality or
happening? I think it never was, or I don't know how close it was to ever being. The Cubs said that they thought about it last year and decided against it. And, you know, if you're the Cubs... You've got so much to juggle, and not the least of which is keeping the neighborhood happy.
Yeah, I guess.
And you've got a limited number of event nights you can have there.
Right.
Well, Cleveland's doing it.
Yeah, Cleveland's not Chicago. It's not Wrigley Field.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, if you were to invite 20,000 or 30,000 people back into that neighborhood,
yeah,
I think that would anger a lot of people, and it would invite the potential for trouble that. It would be like an unforced error, I think.
It means a lot, certainly, in boosted security. You need a lot of people to come and handle a crowd that's that size. But don't you think that this is such a special occasion, waiting this long? Mm. I'm really surprised they didn't, if it's not happening, I'm surprised they didn't push more for it.
I think that they'll find a way to celebrate no matter where they...
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think that neighborhood's already going to be filled with people.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand why the Cubs aren't doing it. You don't need to do it. You know, you're trying to build support for next year or something. What would be the point of it?
I don't know.
For everybody to get together and be a one cohesive Cub fan unit.
Yeah.
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 Just watch in your living rooms.
Wrigleyville was jammed to the rafters when the Blackhawks won Stanley Cups. And you go, well, the Hawks don't even play anywhere near Wrigleyville. They're all the way over there. Why is Wrigleyville the place to celebrate?
That's where you celebrate.
It just seems the place, right?
What time's first pitch?
7:08.
It's going to be 71 degrees.
That's not bad for November 1st.
This Mother Nature has really cooperated with this game.
You can't even say that one team has a weather advantage because Cleveland's weather...
It was freezing the other night.
It was very cold the other night, But during the course of a fall, their weather is kind of like what ours is like. So it's not like in the football season, if you have a warm weather team playing a cold weather team, our weather's conducive to what goes on in Cleveland for the most part.
Yeah, pretty similar.
Yeah.
All right, wait, Jim has a question for you real quickly, and then we continue talking Cubs. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bill, because of your movie role,
yes.
If someone offered you a free ticket to Game 7, would you make the trip tomorrow?
I would, but I would not dress in Indian paraphernalia. But if Cleveland said, "Hey, we're bringing back the kids from Major League, we want you there," I would show up.
Bring the whole gang back, yeah.
Yeah, I would do that. And Charlie Sheen has been very vocal. He wants to throw out a pitch.
Why didn't they let him?
I don't know.
I know he's not the greatest guy on earth, but you know what? It really would. Is Bob Uecker? No, he couldn't. He's
got an affiliation with the Brewers.
Berringer would be a good one.
Yeah, Berringer, Corbin Burnson, Wesley Snipes, me.
Right. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
That was a personal game of one of these things is not like the other.
I kind of felt it.
Yeah, it was there. All right, a quick break, and then there is more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we were wondering whether or not there would be a viewing party. I thought it was kind of weird watching the Cubs game Sunday night, and then it's like. From, what is it, Progressive Field?
In Cleveland, yeah.
I see that, and I'm like, why are they showing, is this from the other? Oh, wait a minute, there are people gathered there watching it?
Filled to the rafters,
totally.
Jam-packed.
So then it had been rumored I had seen, oh, yeah, they're going to do that at Wrigley. No, they're not going to do it at Wrigley. Karen might know why they're not going to. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Yeah, so I work security there, and it was brought up at our pregame meeting. It was asked, and we were told that management wanted us to be able to enjoy the games, too.
That's
so
pretty
sweet. So we wouldn't
sweet.
Have to work.
Yeah.
Well, and most of their front office, I have several friends who are in the front office, and they all posted pictures this morning on Facebook getting on a plane that the Cubs hired to take their front office people and their guests.
Oh, that's nice.
So my friend took her father for the first two games and took her mother for the second two games.
And think about all the security they'd have to have over there with Wrigley Field being full. So it would really be a lot of money spent and time from everyone.
Oh, and getting out of there at night once the game is over.
Impossible.
I mean, it was horrible.
Sure, of course.
I was so happy we didn't clinch at home.
Oh. Yeah. That's a mixed message, but okay, I get it. No, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, 11-hour day on Sunday was long enough.
Sure, understandable. But you got to admit the jubilation that's going on there at Wrigley. You've never experienced anything like that, have you? I bet.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have because I worked for the Bulls in the 90s.
Oh,
you've lived.
You've got
it.
Quite a track record going. That's
she's
excellent.
Karen's the lucky charm.
I think you are, Karen.
Come to the South Side, will you?
That's where I go to watch games.
Oh, listen to that.
It pays off.
All right, Karen. Well, thank you. Good luck. Enjoy the game. Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
I like what they're doing for their workers, as Karen pointed out. They said, hey, you watch the game at home and enjoy yourselves. You've worked hard. But think about the experience. This is something that's over a century in the making. To be in Wrigley and see this, even though the game's not being played there, to see it in a packed stadium with all the other Cub fans watching it on the giant scoreboard, that would be wherever you are, it's going to be a memorable moment. But to be at Wrigley, what would be better than that?
Can I tell you something? When they were showing, on Sunday night, the helicopter view of everyone at Wrigley,
yeah.
I looked at Jim and said, would you want to be there? He's like, absolutely not.
No.
It's too much. Did you go to any games?
I've not been to any this postseason, but in other years.
What are you waiting for? I thought you were going to go.
The tickets that were all offered to me were so astronomically high. Honestly, there are numbers I could think about, like if the price was within a range that I could even, try to fathom. But
it's just way
every
out of your
ticket
league.
Was so expensive. And then I kept thinking, like, when they lost the first two games Friday and Saturday, I said, it's painful enough for me to have watched the game on TV and walk away without winning the game. But if I had spent $4,000 and I was sitting there, I'd go, okay, not only did the team lose, I just lost $4,000.
That's what makes me want them to win, because I think of the Chicago fans that have spent probably too much money to get to these games. So I'd like to see them get a little something back on their dividend.
It would be nice.
All right, real quickly. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good.
I just, you know, I understand all the pros and cons of letting, of having people in the park, but particularly if they win tonight and they play tomorrow, I mean, it's just, it's an opportunity. I mean, you were just talking about the prices. There's an awful lot of people who can actually see the game and see the field, and that's something that's different than Cincinnati. It's Wrigley Field, and to be inside there would be a great thing for a lot of people, and it's, it is not just the time, but the type of field it is and the way the fans appreciate the field. And I understand all the pros and cons, but particularly if it, if they win tonight and the final game is tomorrow night, they ought to let people in there just to have that many more people who can say they were able to enjoy the inside of Wrigley Field for that moment.
I agree. But
I would be as far away from Wrigley as possible.
You'd be in Cleveland.
Yes.
In Cleveland, they were... Go on.
That's always the case at Wrigley. It's always kind of a pain getting out of there.
Yeah.
In the last few years.
But this is magnified. This is tenfold, 20-fold. In Cleveland, they were charging people just $5 to come in and then giving the money to charity, which is a nice thing.
Only $5?
That was it. $5.
And it was packed.
Filled up. Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, Larry.
Thanks.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks. Everybody's nervous.
You will notice that that's what everybody is. It's not even, the phrase guarded optimism. It's not even that. It's like there's like a tense, like, I feel good about this, but I'm still a little nervous.
Not that good.
Yeah, I think it happened.
All right. Is Sue ready to talk or no? Because we have, yes. Real quickly, our last call. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
I'm a huge, huge, huge Cubs fan, and I have a very, very, very good friend of mine that lives in Cleveland. And I'll just say real quickly, because I know you're short on time, is that I've been over there by the field, and it's a very, very different, you know, type of area. I mean, Wrigleyville is Wrigleyville, and I would love them to open up Wrigley, but I can see how maybe that would be easier for them to have done that over there in Progressive.
Yeah, it does seem like a big dip. Wrigley is so congested on a normal day, right. Let alone this.
Right.
I mean, I would love this.
Well, good luck to your Cubs.
Well, thank you. Thank you, miss.
You're very welcome.
I so wish thank people you. Could see your face whenever you say that, because you say it like, I have to say this, I need to say
it.
No, you don't
say
have
it,
to.
But I want like the Cubs to win.
You
there.
Do. Well, that's
I do.
All. That's
but I can't
it.
Be that excited about it. Come on, I'm a Sox fan.
Right, I know.
Just win it and do it.
Right.
Come on.
Right. We're trying.
Well, you're doing a heck of a good job.
We're all trying. As bad as things looked when we were down 3-1, I kept thinking
bad.
To myself, it looked very bad. But I kept thinking, this game, this is the pivotal game. If you win this game, all you need to do is send it to Cleveland. And it really is. It's a sport where anything can happen. And the Cubs are such a strong team that it's not even fate. It's just, you know, get a couple of key hits at the right point. You weren't here yesterday, but I kept saying there's this word that's like a secret word that you're not supposed to know in baseball. And that word is bunt. And I wish somebody would pass that word along to the Cubs, because there's been so many situations where they've had on a guy on first base or second base. You move him over to third, you're in great shape. They just don't seem to want to bunt.
I know. I don't think that should be allowed anyway. I hate
bunting?
When they bunt it.
Oh,
I know
I
it's strategy, but it just bugs me. Like, and I hate when they intentionally pitch, they walk somebody. That bugs me too. You got a great hitter, and you know the catcher goes far to the right.
Right.
That drives me nuts. Play ball.
Yeah. But with the bunt, it's so a part of just, especially in a tight game. This, you know, we've had a couple games that have been one-run games. That's it, a bunt in the right place. It's a different game.
But then if you mess up on the first bunt, you can't keep bunting, can you?
Yeah, you can't bunt foul on two strikes or you're out. But other than that, then you get more than one chance at the bunt.
What would Derek Jeter say?
He's not talking to me. He's mad at me. I got a text from him with no script in it at all, just a blank page. All right, we'll take a quick break. Roe and Ann are here. We'll find out what they've got coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Judy Pilak's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Judy. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.